BFW in progress.
Rule number one, don't blaspheme. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison. The other rules, we'll figure out as you go along. Any questions?
When do we eat?
With Fred Kirsch.
Treasure Island, Robert Louis.
Stevenson.
What's next?
Count Monte Cristo.
That's Cristo, you dumb s***.
Who's his agent? Ben Dofa?
Or? No, Gary Uberstein.
Who am I thinking of?
Alexandre Dumbass. Dumbass.
Dumas.
Paul Perillo.
I'd only ask three beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell.
Hey, come on, old boys. Move it like molasses. Make me look bad.
We liked him immediately.
Andy Hart.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Hope,
some guy named Tom.
What the crisis is happy horse.
You'll be telling him about the tonic, your ass. What is your malfunction, you fat barrel of monkey spunk?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Nothing left but that cupcake on the wall. Let's ask her. Maybe she knows.
What's saying there, fussy britches? Do you like talking?
BFW in progress.
I believe in two things, discipline and the Bible. Here you'll receive both. Put your trust in the Lord. Your ass belongs to me.
So we're back. We're back here at PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom, Gary.
Fred, we missed you. I haven't seen you since we got back from Cincinnati.
I know.
We missed him after that display.
I've been very busy.
Well, I just wanted to let you know, and I told you this upstairs, the listeners are really interested in Kirsch Felger 4.
That's over. That's
oh.
So over.
And
he's dead. He's
the
done.
War is over.
He's done.
We will
he's
have you
up.
We will have you know that somebody asked specifically if who would win in a fight between you and Felger, and to a man, the three of us took no time whatsoever in declaring you the favorite.
That's not even a
The
contract.
Only concern was Andy's concern.
It's your breaking
it,
down.
It ends early. It can't go long.
Oh, yeah.
If it goes long, you're done.
No, I'd make swift work of him.
Much like you'd be chasing down the tennis ball that was furthest away, like you did when you played me. Much
radio.
Like Balboa against Clubber Lane,
he'd hit
two
you with his purse.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Try to strangle me with his pearls.
Exactly.
But as far as the radio goes, he's waving the white flag. It's over.
He's done.
It's over. He's thrown in the towel.
In general, or this show, you mean?
In general, there's nothing he can do. I mean, the more he talks, the stupider he sounds. So, you know, it's over.
That's good stuff.
All right.
Freddie, quite a locker room today.
Yeah. You guys were
bouncing
saying
off the walls in there. It started. Dante Stallworth has brought an energy to that locker room like we've never seen.
It's like
started
Jason
off.
Papelbaum all of a sudden came into the Patriots locker room.
Jason Papelbaum.
Whatever his name is.
Stallworth
anyway,
was unbelievable.
It started off a little bit different. It was quiet and subdued. There weren't a lot of players in there, and we were all wondering, you know, geez, I wonder if
they worried about the Browns.
They're a little
no
uptight.
This
you know, they have a hard week of practice or something. Didn't really
so
get
much.
It going. Then all of a sudden, the receivers came in, led by Stallworth, who, by the way, they started off. They taped up Randall Gay's locker. They had just white tape all over it, so you couldn't get anything in.
Right.
And then what was how many different helmets?
All the DBs.
All the DBs' helmets had a piece of tape over, like, the face mask where you would see where your eyes would come out.
And I asked Ellis Hobbs, I said, what's the deal with the thing? And he goes, somebody's been messing with all our stuff. I think it's Dante Stallworth.
I have a feeling it's Dante Stallworth.
And that was before Stallworth came in. Then Stallworth came in, and he was screwing around. He had windbreakers from Tennessee that he was hanging up in. Yes.
Tennessee,
Georgia
must be playing this week because
they
were really targeting Ben Watson, and then they said, we got to go get one in Seymour's locker, too. And
Watson ripped it down, kicked it. Stallworth jumped on his back, and then...
So yeah. Stallworth gets praised by Tom Brady one week, and now he's the class clown?
He's been the class clown since he's been here.
Really?
There's no question about that.
I'm not sure Tom Brady appreciates it.
I'm not sure he did either.
Given him.
I'm not sure he did either.
But then Hobbs went up to Stallworth and challenged him with his hood down about, why are you taping my stuff? And Stallworth denied it, and then Hobbs put his hood on, like we're going to fight. And
it's go time now.
And Stallworth goes, oh, I got a hood, too. I don't even know what it means. Good stuff, though.
It was entertaining for a good 15 minutes in the locker room.
Okay.
Very lighthearted, Fred. You'd be giddy. I think they're going to put up about 60 this week based on the mood.
Oh, yeah. Take the over.
Generally, when the mood is like that in that locker room,
but
fear
Bill,
not about
Bill
the Sunday
won't let
game.
Them embarrass Romeo.
I mean...
Think.
You can only do
so much. I think
so
the next time they keep the score down will be the first, just so you know.
Oh, whoa. But they elected to not go for it against Dick Geron. Remember, yeah, they had a chance to score, go in. They decided
the
not
possession
to.
After they threw a 45-yard touchdown pass to make it 38-7.
That put it away, but they weren't going to pile on.
31-7, a little worried.
No, I mean, obviously, I'm exaggerating a little bit, Fred, and you're probably right. You know, with Romeo on the other sideline, I wouldn't expect it to be a 56-10 game or something like that. But you never know. Sometimes these things happen that can't be avoided.
Well, so, yeah, you know, put in Gutierrez, and if the kid wants to play, then they score and they can't stop him, then what? What are the Patriots going
to
do?
If they put in Gutierrez, by the way, and he does anything but hand the ball off to Heath Evans or Kyle Echol, then you're running it up.
All right. Well, what else is going on? Bill's press conference today. Was it the typical Friday crowd?
Breaking news. Tom Brady is jealous of Ray Ventrone and is still striving to win practice player of the week.
Really?
Kind of a funny comment. We were talking about the practice squad, you know, those black shirts that the practice players of the week get.
Have you seen those?
No.
He was asked about they came about and, you know, what goes into getting them and all that. And, you know, it was pretty self-explanatory answer from Belichick. You know, obviously the guys that do a lot of everybody has a job to do and they're all important. And some of the guys that don't get the recognition, blah, blah, blah. Well, he explained how, you know, there's a lot of guys that would like to be practice squad player of the week that just can't do it. And he, you know, obviously used the most obvious. Tom Brady will never be practice squad player of the week. He doesn't play on the scout team and gets all the reps on offense. And then he went on to say there was a time when Brady could have gotten practice squad player of the week. But those days have passed
for now.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Which means don't get too comfortable.
Yeah.
Drew was practicing, someday.
He's got two or three good years left, then he's out. Then he's going to be Damon Hewitt playing the role of Peyton Manning in practice.
You know who I actually thought of, I bet, wants to win it? Your boy, Mike Vrabel. I bet you he wants the black jersey 1 week. He seems like the kind of guy that would honestly want to be practice player of the week for a week.
I think he's too cool for that.
I don't know.
I think that he thinks he's
like
too
the
cool.
Black jersey. I think he's given Ventrone wedgies.
Yeah, I think he thinks he's too cool for that.
So Bubba Ventrone's got it a couple weeks?
He got it the first week he was back.
Year. Wasn't he the practice player of the year?
Oh, yeah, that was in 05.
So what do you have to do in order to get that? What do you have to do to get practice player of the week?
Do a good job in
practice.
Do
a great job in practice, show the other team's
looks.
Usually you're playing the role of a specific, like Bam Childress against San Diego was LaDainian Tomlinson that week in practice. And he got the practice squad player of the week for his performance. He didn't get it that week?
Because I walked.
It was the week before that?
It was either
it?
Before or after.
Because I know he got it.
Because I walked in and said, they've been raving about him being LT, and he doesn't get the practice player of the week. Three other, Kelly Washington and a couple others got it, and I was shocked. Huh. I remember thinking it specifically because they had raved about him being LT.
Vince Wilfork went on for about 10 minutes about Bam Childress that night after the San Diego game. I thought, I must have just mixed up the weeks.
I think Bill thinks it's a little more valuable than it is. I think the players who are starters will keep their million-dollar paychecks and their fancy cars, and Ray Ventrone making his $4,200 a week will collect his black jersey.
Yeah, Ray Ventrone, the first week he came back and was on the practice squad, the next week he was in black.
And Tom wrote a 3,000-word feature on it.
Tom sent him a quick little heartfelt congratulations.
Writing anything, but
I think there was like an
email. Providence Journal will be writing something about
him. That's
true.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Jay says, "What the F was that? That music was terrible. Gary, please do not vomit like that in my ears again." I don't know what he's talking about.
What music was it? I thought he was talking about your open, but.
It was a little music that I was actually recording before the start of the show that's actually player requested music for In Stadium.
What player requested it and what was it? Or at least what was it?
A bunch of different stuff.
So Gary, is
59.
Is your studio just live all day on the internet? Because I'm always getting these emails about F-bombs
being dropped.
People fighting.
Well, that was during Patriots Friday, and this was just before the show started when the link was active.
I think we should make your studio live. We can hear you
reality
farting all
radio.
Day. You know?
Well, we wouldn't hear a peep. He's never here.
What noise does it make
Why
when
are you
he...
teaming up on me?
Whoa.
That's a good one. I like that one.
All right.
So we're all fired.
I wasn't here. I'm not getting fired.
I wasn't here either.
Web Radio. Paul, you're double-fisted with the Diet
Pepsi.
No, I'm
just going to put the other one back. Okay. This was the last one in the pack.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Tom, you're awful quiet over there. I don't know what's going on.
He's
very pensive.
I think he's tense with the Cowboys game coming up.
No, I'm fine.
Not this week, the one after this.
Yeah, but he's writing the preview, so this is a 2 week buildup for him.
Oh, you're writing the you're letting him do the Cowboys preview.
He requested a month ago that we could flip flop the schedule so he could have it.
He rearranged the schedule so he could do it.
The pages are gonna stick together.
Oh, for Christ. We usually have a rotation, Fred. Oh, Fred. Fred.
What?
Fred.
Time out. Why are you teeing up on me?
You bring us
let's,
down.
Let's review.
You are not a good role model.
Andy is bringing the word bitch slap to the radio show.
Can we not say that?
You are saying things like that, and I'm getting in trouble for saying douchebag.
Not in a gay way. Not in a gay way, of course.
That's okay. That's pretty well.
It's kind of a euphemism.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily meant to be taken literally, right?
Yeah. You're my bitch.
Dan Johnson.
Everybody's been saying that.
But, I mean, do you think that bitch slapping.
So I can say bitch on here?
Well, the thing about that type of stuff is you don't do it unnecessarily. It's right. It's okay in spots, but if you start doing it
2 days
all
in
the
a
time,
row?
Then it gets boring. Really.
That really bothers me. That some ass.
Yeah, we're taking advice from him.
No,
is this the man?
I forget who was the general. Obviously, it wasn't Patton, but there was a famous general who always said, "I never swear to my soldiers." Because that gives them an excuse not to listen to me.
He's talking about freaking Skype like it's
you should try to have a vocabulary such that you don't have to use swearing to make a point.
Of all people, this is the guy who's
yes,
giving
Bill
us
Belichick's not a very good coach because he swears a lot.
Once in a while it slips out, but
so can you say douchebag?
Not all the time.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo.
It's
like,
kind of
no
crude.
Gabagoo!
It's crude.
See, the rule I sort of use?
But isn't is bitch slap?
Your rules are very strange,
if I
though.
Would say it in front of my mom, then I think it's generally okay. And I would say bitch slap in front of my mom.
But isn't that hitting a woman?
But
see,
it's not
that's
anymore.
What I'm saying.
It's
I don't think that's what it's meant to be, when you call...
When I bitch slap somebody, it means like hitting them like they're a girl.
It does.
See, I just think
it does mean that. But now it means subservient person.
Yeah. Right.
Someone that you're
like,
my...
It means you dominated.
T.O. could bitch slap Ellis Hall.
But
you dominated
are,
that.
The origins
right.
are what Tom said.
No,
there's
I
a lot of origins
that,
that have evolved over the years.
When someone calls somebody a bitch, they're not necessarily calling them a female.
No.
I just can't believe I can say bitch on the air. I'm all excited now.
Gary is just watching his career go down in flames.
What career?
Hey. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We have a lot of emails coming in. Is Felger coming in, Gary? Is he going to be
Who
here?
Knows?
We don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows what Felger's doing.
Nobody.
He's talking to a fight promoter to get you guys up on a pay-per-view.
There you go.
That would be the biggest ripoff for people ever because it would last about 2 seconds.
Well, it better.
It would
otherwise,
be
you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I would be.
You would kill him.
Oh, I know I would.
As I said upstairs.
Because you hate him.
You
hate everything he's
I
about.
I don't. You know what? You might think that.
I don't think you hate
I like
him.
Mike Felger. I think he's a great guy.
But, no, I don't think
but you don't like his on air.
I think if he said one word before you started the fight about whatever gets you riled up, that fire that burns in you when he says certain things, you
all
would absolutely annihilate
say
him.
Say something, along the lines of where you get your information
right.
and how you
right.
drink the Kool-Aid.
And you would just
you
go
would
off on him so fast. We'd have to pull you off.
As I said upstairs, you would rip off one of his arms and beat him to death with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would do that.
On a gay way.
Some might say he might.
I don't dislike Mike Felger. Mike's fine. I know what Mike's doing. I just want to save him from himself.
I actually think he's a guy
that's making himself look stupid.
He's a guy you can't dislike. Even if you're mad at him, you can't dislike him for some reason.
I've known Mike a long time, and we worked together for a lot of years, and that's the part of it that I don't understand is that I think that he intentionally does a lot of this stuff to play the role of the contrarian,
right.
fool, kind of controversial thing. And I don't understand why he does that on purpose, but he definitely does.
And it works for him.
Russell.
And it has worked for him.
He's got a radio show, a TV show. He makes a lot of money, and we're sitting here in a little concrete room talking on the internet.
Russell says, I always thought bitch slapping meant hitting someone like a girl, like in a catfight. No, that's maybe in the UK, Russell.
Like this?
But no, it's definitely hitting someone as who is a subservient person to you.
I think it's just dominating someone.
Yeah.
Like you said, if Randy Moss bitch slapped Justin Miller against
right.
the Jets, that means he dominated him. It doesn't mean he hit him.
Right.
Or treated him like a woman.
But in the same thing, there's words for gay that maybe I use off the air to say to people who means like you're...
I don't know what those words are. I don't know what you're referring to.
That you're not a man, but I can't say those on the air or I could get in trouble. You know what I mean?
Not in a gay way, of course.
Ask Eric.
I thought Speaking of the leg, is he coming down?
Who knows?
I would hope not.
No?
I would hope that he's got that feature done by
Which
now
means and... I expect to see him any minute now.
He's working on a feature. What feature is he working on?
The players, Fred, as you know, often take part in Domino's games.
Yes.
He's spoken to a number of them about those games and backgammon and other stuff like that. So more of a lighthearted kind of human interest feature.
Hey.
I think fans like that kind of
they
stuff.
Do. Thanks, Fred. We learned that more than anything with that tattoo story. That wasn't a story. Yeah, it was just about tattoos.
He's going to be harping on that for the next
10 years. Did you ever see anybody break his arm catting himself on the back more
no,
often?
No, my point
it's like
is...
Brian, it's like Brian Morey came
he
back.
He is so
it's unbelievable.
Proud of that tattoo
but I'm not,
story.
But I'm not really. I'm just,
it was a good story. You
the
should
only
be.
Thing,
but I'm just
I was
saying,
prouder you're... of... what was the story
more
I did?
Proud.
More proud.
That was
you
one of the
be
best...
prouder?
What's the matter with prouder?
That's one of the best stories you ever wrote.
Word.
But what... A story I did recently I liked... Oh, Larry Anam. I liked that story, but no one cared. You write a tattoo
I
story.
I thought that was a good story.
Well, people were like, oh, better. That tattoo thing.
I think it would have been better if he told us what he did in it.
I don't think so.
Why?
Because I don't think it was as much as he made it up to be.
Well, that's the thing.
I agree, might have taken the suspense
I agree
away.
With your first point. I don't think anyone cares.
As I said to Paul when he did the table of contents, what was it? African Dreams.
African
Larry
Dreams
Anam story.
Because the name of the story was African Dreams. That was the headline. And I put colon the Larry Anam story.
And I said, no one's going to read that. No one cares.
Only Andy can make fun of me for writing a feature story on a guy who's been here now for 2 years. When he wrote a feature story on Larry Anam, who was here for a cup
yeah,
of coffee.
At least my guy was from Africa and was going down the bad path in Nigeria at one point.
My guy's a good practice player. What do you want me to tell you?
The guy's a dime a dozen.
All right.
And when his practice squad eligibility is up, so will his time in the NFL.
I work in construction with his dad or whatever he's falling back on.
I would assume that you guys have covered this game coming up to death.
Not really.
Over the last few days. No?
A lot of people have been looking ahead to the Cowboys.
Really?
I mean, emailers.
Matter of fact, when I did my 5 points with Perillo this week, Fred.
Really?
I
Holy
stopped
Christ.
And said, those are my five. Well, who are we kidding here? We're looking ahead to Dallas.
You said that.
Yeah. Oh. And we're hoping that Dallas wins this week. So
That's
it's
why
two,
they love Paul.
2-5
we
and
might
teams.
Get an email from downstairs.
From Mike Reese saying, did you steal my 5 points with Reese?
Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, I thought when you brought that up. Evidently, someone has contacted them to complain that we stole this from Felger.
It's
well,
four downs
with Felger.
But the point, first of all, let me just wash
no,
my hands.
No one has that copyright.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I saw Reese do 5 on a show.
But
let me just
state, you know, unequivocally, I'm going to wash my hands of this whole thing. I do what I'm told.
Right. You didn't make that up.
I didn't make it up. I go down and I do what they ask me to do.
You're not the creative mastermind behind 5 points.
certainly not that. Number two is what Andy just said. I mean, there's a line of people that do, here are my 5 points for training camp. Here are my 10 points for this AL division series. I mean, let's face it. It's not exactly splitting the atom.
5 burning questions and this and that.
So we do 5 points every week. And evidently someone called and wrote
they
in.
They complained too?
The people in Crass Sports Productions, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
They must have gotten to Matt Smith or something.
One of the Army.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean that's the only department bigger than marketing nowadays. By the way,
that's not what he's talking about. Ron says I agree with Andy. If I'd say
no, this was Felger.
Oh, Felger.
No,
he doesn't have an army. He's an army of one.
he's an army of one. Is exactly right.
I agree with Andy. Says Raymond. If I'd say it in front of my mother, it's acceptable. By the same token, there's an old saying that says. Profanity is the crutch of a poor vocabulary.
And that's what you were saying, basically, right?
I just think it's funny.
See, I hate that.
What?
Profanity is the crutch of a poor vocabulary.
I think swear words are funny.
I do, too.
I do, too.
I think when Eddie Murphy says the F word, it makes me laugh every time.
Hasn't made me laugh since he stopped swearing.
Right.
Let's be honest. South Park did a whole episode on Cartman with Tourette's just so that they could have Cartman yell swears. And they're funny.
And I'm not that smart. I agree with that part.
I learned a new term today that I thought was applicable to a lot of people here. Uh-oh. You know, you've heard of multitasker.
Wait, could you tell me what applicable means?
You've heard of multitasker, multi-slacker. I think that where you can slack off on multiple things.
Are you talking about us or other people?
Oh, I wouldn't never talk about
you guys. I actually think Fred's right because I think that you have us doing so many different things that we really don't do any of them well.
Okay. Oh, I think we do this well. So well, I think people should send us lunch.
I have to burp.
All right. The paper comes out every week.
Right.
So shut up.
Have we ever not had a paper?
That's why you guys work here.
We've never missed deadline.
All right.
Shut up.
A lot of people like the cover, by the way. On the Run. No. The Run,
the Run Continues.
Was so good, you
Fred,
can't even remember.
So these people...
Playing the role of Andy. Fred, a lot of people like the cover. Guess who came up with the cover this week, guys?
No,
Fred.
You know, see, now I wasn't even going to say that.
Yeah, you didn't mention Cat Scratch Pat's Back Scratch Cat.
No, but you
cover.
Guys do every yes. time we play Cincinnati.
It was a very good cover, so much so that even Andy gave you the stamp of approval on the plane
good.
Ride home, Fred.
Obviously, The Run did continue.
Double Entendre.
Double Entendre.
Yeah, you said that on the TV show, but then never really you stumbled through it.
No, you said it.
Somebody
also
mentioned there was a third meeting, which I couldn't figure out.
The 16-0 run.
Well, that's what I
but
thought.
But that's what it is.
That run.
Oh, because that's what I thought you were going to say on the TV show, and you didn't.
No, but he just said that the winning continued,
continues.
The running game was big. That's a double entendre.
Right.
I thought a double entendre had to have sex involved.
No.
Well, why?
Well, I thought
that's a
whole
sexual
thing
innuendo.
I thought a double entendre
it's
was
called
a
menage a trois, Fred.
No. I thought like
that's
a,
three.
I'd
that's
like to rotate
two.
Her tires.
It's the only way I like it.
I thought those were double entendre.
No, that's a sexual innuendo.
Like when you said you liked
I'm with
Lori's
on
muffins.
No,
double entendre?
Entendre is usually sexual. I think double meaning is what you're looking for, Fred. Right.
A double entendre means it has two meanings.
Is that the French for double meaning? Look up the French for double meaning.
Look up the word entendre, Gary. Oh,
this is
crying out loud.
This is the worst 25 minutes.
This has turned into an English
How many people do you think are listening to the show?
Zero.
Right
You know what?
Chris Ferrer is upstairs.
They all started off and they were like, wow, all four of them are there on a Friday. This is cool. And then it took them 5 minutes to say, get the Indian Paul out of there. It usually is much better than this.
Chris Ferreira, he's a bitch.
Wow. Tom's got a new word he can use.
Oh, boy. All right.
Every sentence now is going to be like, ain't life a bitch?
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We're going to take a break, and I promise we're going to talk some football and get to your emails in a minute.
Your New England Revolution
with Commander
one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Noonan.
Shot, and it's in! Patrick Noonan!
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls, and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile Hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey,
this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself.
Okay.
First ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
The webmaster takes it a little hard when the PFW boys give him the business.
Why? Are you mad at me?
No, it's not about you.
Oh, it's never about me.
Patriots.com radio.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. You know, speaking of that Game of the Greats.
And the fact that John Hanna is going to want to kill Gary.
Pretty much. that event is pretty much sold out.
Really?
So if you need a ticket, you better get it quick.
Are you going?
No, we're going to be in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
We will have some coverage of that as well, by the way, in PFW. The week after the Dallas game, yeah.
Why, who's covering it?
Okay. The people that are part of it. Kyle. Corey.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's going to be a great event.
Yeah.
Good way to watch the game. Watch the Patriots run all over the Cowboys. All right, let's get back to
business
here. He perks
up a little. He's watching TV, and Tom hears him say that and perks up a little.
Let's get back to business
here. You know what? If the Cowboys win, I'm not going to say much on the radio, but for your sake, you just better hope that doesn't happen.
Come on, Kyle.
I mean,
of course, he can't say much on the radio because that would alienate him to Patriots fans.
No, because everyone else has been reasonable about this game except for Loudmouth over there.
What have I said that's unreasonable?
I don't know. You're acting like we're in junior high.
That's what Fred does.
You're like trying to egg me on. Like, I don't think the Patriots are going to win the game. But I'm looking at it realistically. Yeah, they're going
like
to win.
Jake Steele or something.
It's not like I'm.
That's one of my favorites for you.
The idea of the show is egging each other on.
No, I know, but I think it's hard for me to get into a battle with you seriously because I think the Patriots are going to win the game.
See, basically what this all comes down to, Fred,
so
is
he's
Tom
bitch slapped.
Well, Tom doesn't take the bait like I do. So when you throw those things out there and I go back at you,
right.
And we have like a half hour where they start writing in saying, shut up, tell Paul and Fred to stop. Tom doesn't take the bait as well.
If I thought they were going to win, I would, but I don't think they
are. It must suck to like be for a team that you know is going to lose.
No, I think it'll be a good game.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's my one hope. After all that, we've been talking about it for 2 weeks.
I'm dying for a competitive
game. If that's a 9-3 boring crap fest, I want offense. I want
Sways
of momentum.
That's a good segue into Phil from Nova Scotia, who says, the New England Globetrotters. I can't talk today. The New England Globetrotters, when spectacle replaces competition.
I can't talk.
At what point does spectacle replace competition? With all these blowouts lately, it's beginning to feel like I'm cheering for the Harlem Globetrotters when they play the local firemen's team. It's not about cheering for them to win, because that's a foregone conclusion. It's about cheering for the show of lopsided talent. As a Pats fan, this is taking some getting used to. I should probably say that I'm not complaining, but that would not be completely truthful. There seems to be an internal fight within myself between the football fan and the Pats fan. The football fan says, if you're really enjoying this game, why are you not on the edge of your seat like before? And the Pat fan replies,
because you weren't that good before, now you're great.
Shut up, you ungrateful bastard, and just enjoy the game. So that's basically
I thought the goal was to be the best.
I feel if you're a real fan, you'd want to win 56-0 every week.
It's not your job for the other team to be competitive.
If you want to watch a competitive game, turn the station.
I agree with that.
My team to kill every week.
You know, I understand that it's maybe not when the game is over, it might not be as exciting to get there, but how can you not?
It's exciting.
But at the same
time,
they didn't enjoy the AFC title game, which was the best game I've ever seen in my life because the Patriots lost.
But you enjoy it for different reasons.
Well, what are you looking for? You can't have a close game that you might have the chance to lose, but you don't want to blow out.
Let's just say for argument's
sake. Never happy. That's the bottom line.
Let's say for argument's sake, the Marlon Jackson interception was a bang bang seam route to Benjamin Watson, and he took it to the house for a touchdown. And they won.
Greatest game ever played.
That becomes the greatest game ever played.
Right, absolutely.
Right. That becomes the greatest game ever played, and it still would be the greatest game I've ever seen.
Right.
By the way, that's what you know. Right. I think that's where you can differentiate. But as a fan, I don't know how you can't appreciate.
No,
and be just as entertained by the dominance that you've seen in the last month as you were the 21-game winning streak where 11 of those 21 games could have gone either way.
Yeah, we're enjoying the game for a different reason.
And as a fan, I would demand dominance now.
Right.
I don't want a 2017 game. I want total thrashing every week.
So...
Now, for us, on the other hand,
well, it'd be nice to have a little mix-up for our stories.
Right, we're looking for a little bit of a change to
especially
the script.
Especially for gridironmind.com.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. We're looking for some key fourth downs.
I'm looking for a photo on that page.
they picked a bad year to stop sniffing glue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're referring to a little segment we have in Patriots Football Weekly. These guys, these
they do a fine job.
Computer scientists, professors, put together, they went back since 2000 and put every play in the NFL into a database and then figured out this algorithm to figure out, you know, when a play is helps you toward victory or hurts you and what that percentage is. It's the analogy is sort of like when you watch that Texas Hold'em poker and every time a card is dealt, each person's winning percentage goes up or down. Well, the same thing with every play, they could tell you with each team's winning percentage goes up and down. And it's kind of interesting, but when games are lopsided like the Patriots are, there's no reason.
There's been no Patriots have been at like 100% victory forecast in the third quarter sometime, and it just stays up there.
Right. There have been no decisions, no peaks, no coaching moves, no key interceptions that have changed, swayed things at all, so it hasn't worked. But did anybody see the highlights of the Cubs game, by the way, last night when Ted Lilly gave up a home run in the second inning.
As soon as he threw
the pitch, he turned around, took his glove off, and fired it to the ground.
That's what I used to do when I pitched in Babe Ruth.
In Little League.
Yeah. Way to keep your composure.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. I've never seen that in the pro level.
That always used to give the Red Sox trouble when he was on the A's,
yes.
Right?
Soft-throwing lefties often give the Red Sox trouble.
Hey, you could play the Red Sox.
Sure.
49ers start.
Or you, it's a standing invitation.
Or anybody in this room.
Now we can go one, two, three, Tom, Andy, and Fred?
Gary might actually make contact since he still plays.
He plays in an over 40 baseball league.
I think Gary could probably get a hit off me because he plays.
The Niners starting tackle, Jonas Jennings, isn't playing this week either. So
Fred's really glad he picked.
Fred's
got to
change
week.
That pick now.
What happened?
Never mind.
Just read the email.
Should we get to some more emails?
Yeah, we're done with your Babe Ruth baseball career. Let's move on to the emails.
Let's see. Anthony says...
Anthony's our guy,
Anthony's
by the way.
Anthony's the one who bought us a gift recently.
Okay, that was nice.
Very nice.
Yours is on ice. Aren't you going to enjoy it today?
Probably tonight at some point.
At 8:37?
After I get back from the Red Sox game.
Oh, I forgot. That's right.
Yeah, Fred's got to go to the Red Sox game.
Every other game of the year, if he gets tickets, he offers them to us.
Does that mean you're leaving early?
No. The game screw the Sox. Late, right?
Yeah, it's 8:37.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Yankee game starts at 5. It's the only one I care about.
Anthony says, I hear everyone saying lately that they aren't at all nervous when they watch the Pats this year, as they have been in years past. I guess I'm in the minority, as I still have that nervous feeling in my gut each week, even when up by 17 or 21 points in the middle of the third. It seems stupid, I know, and in my mind I know how great they're playing, but it's hard to shake years of conditioning that they will play every game down to the wire. It's tough to accept how great and dominant they've been so far this season, and while I revel in it, I just can't seem to feel completely relaxed when watching the games until the last few minutes. I'll tell you, I'm still nervous going into every game, but once I see the first few series that
wasn't
I
calm
right
down. Wasn't it
2 minutes
in that you turned to Paul and said it's over?
Yeah, they hadn't even scored yet, and you asked me if it was over.
But I always have to
Fred,
see how it starts.
I'll use Andy's favorite analogy, the Cowboys. Back in the 90s when they were so good, you just going in, pretty much you always knew they were going to win. And then there'd be a point in the game where I just say to myself, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you knew it was over.
Right.
And I think, I know you guys have, the Patriots have always played close games here.
But they've been over. A lot of them have been over, even despite the score.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But because
of the defense.
But with this team, I don't think you're going to have many comebacks. If you're up by 17 or 20 points, relax, sit back, have a glass of soda, do whatever you want to do. It's all over.
And the other thing is, in the past, see, that's the one part of that email that I don't really agree with or understand is, you know, even up 17 or 20 points in the third quarter. Well, in that 21-game winning streak, up 17 or 20 points in the third quarter, you might as well have shut the game off because the other team wasn't coming back. Do you know how many times they've lost when leading at the half or leading after three?
Twice.
I think that's right.
Miami, and what's the other one?
I don't know exactly. Indy.
Yep. Let's see. Christy in D.C. says, entendre means to hear in French. So double entendre literally means to hear two ways, a.k.a. double meaning, no sexual innuendo at all. As for football, is Maroney's healthy enough to start this week?
He's not very fun.
And even if he is, do you think Bill might keep him sidelined just to give his injury another week of rest?
Yes.
To save him up for Dallas?
Yes.
And I've got an ulterior motive. I picked up Sammy Morris on my fantasy team last week for the Cincy game, and it panned out pretty well for me. Just wondering if I should start him again.
Well, Dante Stallworth had jumped on like six guys' back in the locker room, and he was running up to Maroney to do it, and just before he stopped, I think he realized, wait, this guy's hurt. But right. He looked fine. I mean, Maroney was up against a chair, and he was stretching back with both legs. I mean, he didn't look too bad to me. I mean, and granted, I don't know what it feels like to have a groin injury. I never had one, but...
A groin?
Can't even talk around here.
Fred, let me ask you this, because Andy and I disagreed on this a little bit yesterday. Andy thinks that the opponent is the predominant reason that he won't play.
I said,
this is the way we put it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Andy.
I will.
If they were playing, let's just say that they thought he could play this week, okay? They think he's healthy enough to play this week, and if they were playing Dallas, he would play.
No.
Okay? If they thought he was healthy enough this week and they were playing Dallas, he would play. That's going in. That's a fact. Andy says they're playing Cleveland, so he won't play. If they were playing Dallas, he would.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with it either. I think if they thought he was healthy enough to play, I don't think it would matter what the opponent was.
If you look at the standings, it's more important to beat Cleveland than it is to beat Dallas.
And you'll beat Cleveland with or without Lawrence Maroney.
But I think that's right. But what I'm saying is if he doesn't play this week, that's telling me that he's not healthy enough to play.
And don't you think, Paul, if coaches went into it, not to pile on you, Andy, but if went into it with Andy's theory, they wouldn't be good coaches? Like, it's okay for us to say they're going to kill Cleveland.
Exactly.
But I think what makes Bill a good coach is he doesn't think that. He's like Fred. He's pointing out all the things that could happen.
And I'm not even criticizing Andy's mindset. I think that makes perfect sense what he's saying.
I mean,
I just don't think Belichick thinks like
plus
that.
Plus, the players know this stuff. They know the health of Lawrence Maroney.
Oh, come on. They don't know whether he's 68%, 72%, or 100%.
They'll see that. If they see a coach let up, they're going to let up.
So you bring him out there and have him jog three circles, and they go, yeah, it's just not the week.
No, it's all about a consistent message in that locker room.
Yeah, win.
You don't do one thing and say another.
The unfortunate part of this is we can't find out the answer.
Because
if he
in the post game press conference, Bill, isn't it true that if this had been a better team than the Browns, you would have played him, right?
You'd be getting a.
Are you kidding me?
What are you looking for, Andy?
Yeah,
well, that's exactly what I asked, Bill.
That's a stupid question.
That was pretty good.
By the way, if he said stupid, there'd be an MF-er in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
What are you looking for?
Let's see. Charlie writes in. He says, I was looking at the stats, and Morris and Maroney are both on pace for a 1,000-yard season. My question, barring injury, do you think they will both finish with 1,000?
No.
Morris wouldn't have this many yards without Maroney's missed game, but who knows? Everyone's talking 16-0, so why not this? And Andy, Moss didn't call you homie. He called you homer. When was this?
No, he called me homie.
When?
Yesterday in the locker
room. Randy Moss?
Yeah.
I thought he wasn't talking.
Well, I said, feel like talking today? And he said, no, something, man. And I said, so you keep into that promise and not talking to us much? And he said, I always keep my word, homie.
Let's see. P.S. Felger is annoying, tallying one for me in the No More Felger on PFW column. Gary, cue the button. I don't know what button that is.
The blow-up button.
Oh.
Gary can't find it. Craig hasn't been on yet, so it wasn't quite ready.
By the way, you got to... Leave Craig alone.
We love Craig. Well, I love Craig. I think he's a good character on this show.
Why are we leaving Craig alone?
Because we want him to call.
He calls.
He's a good caller.
He calls, and when he says one more point, Gary blows him up.
Well, he could certainly call today. There's four of us here, so.
Craig brings it.
What?
What is it? He brings it a point of view, you know.
I don't think he brings anything.
No?
I think he brings comic relief.
Yeah, that's about it.
I appreciate that, though, Craig.
Let's see. Jeff in Vegas.
Vegas.
I heard you on yesterday's program wondering how people heard Tom's question to TJ Houzmanzadeh in the locker room after the Monday night game. They had post-game reaction video on the Bengals website, which is where I saw it. TJ still seemed to diss the Pats as well as Tom, saying that the Pats feared the Bengals receivers too much not to double cover them. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
He's an idiot.
No, he was when he said that, I was there was a scrum of people, and my follow up question was going to be, what about the Colts? They throw deep, and I finally got to ask him that, and his reply was, I'm not the coach. So, I mean, he didn't really diss me.
Yeah, the only thing about that whole Colts thing that I would say is they finally beat them last year by not throwing deep, by taking what they were given underneath.
But even in that game, they took chances deep every now and – you know what I mean? They picked spots to go deep. The Bengals in 2 years, I think – they did.
Yeah, they took that shot. I can think of at least one that Hobbs broke up.
Was double covered?
They went down the – no, he wasn't double covered. Hobbs broke that up by himself, and then there was
one – but either way, he took a shot.
There was one where Samuel was single covering Harrison down the sideline early. Remember where Harrison would have scored if he caught it and Samuel broke it up? So at least they took some shots.
I just think there's an argument to be made that those were bad play calls, but – that's just me.
I think
well,
you need to
Harrison
take a shot.
Was wide open.
But I missed the game then. I just missed it.
But hey, the game's here. The Colts have thrown deep. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Harrison's caught balls down when Rodney Harrison got injured.
Well, not the one they lost where he never threw it. The last play of the game was the only throw ball that went more than 15 yards downfield.
The play that Rodney Harrison got injured on was a broken play. It wasn't a designed bomb. He got blitzed up the middle, flushed out of the pocket, rolled out to the side. The play took forever to develop. And he just threw one deep and had two guys breaking off routes because Dallas Clark was right next to Marvin Harrison when he caught it. I don't think that was a designed play. Do you?
What?
Well,
Andy, you avoid confrontation.
I don't really remember the specifics of the play. I'm not going to lie to you.
The first play of the game when Rodney Harrison got
hurt, I do not really remember the specifics. I remember him getting hurt. I remember the result of the play and how the play ended. I don't remember the whole beginning.
Okay.
The 28-24 game, they hit Dallas Clark down the middle early in the game, down the middle of the field. I think they look to make plays. The Bengals, to me, are just looking to dump plays off.
I think there are similar plays. Look, it's fine. We can have a difference of opinion. I think that plays to Dallas Clark down the seam are the same as a deep in cut to Chad Johnson at the goal line that got picked off. I don't think those are bombs. I think those are deep,
they're not,
deep routes.
But I think they're looking down the field. To me, when I watch the
Bengals. But I think that's
Bengals,
down the field. When you throw a pick in the end zone from the 20-yard line, I think that's down the field.
I just don't think the Bengals were looking. I think they were playing right into the Patriots' hands, just throwing short. And
I do, too. They were stretching.
This is my thinking. If you have Chad Johnson, I think he can make a play. Like Randy Moss is covered sometimes, but they throw it up. I think Chad Johnson can make a play, and if you need a play, they let the – here's my point of the whole thing. They let the Patriots take Chad Johnson out of the game two games in a row. And I just – my point with the Colts is their receivers, at least they throw to them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you should let a team take Chad Johnson out of the game. I think he's too good. Now, if you're winning and you're going to Hushmanzada 10 times because Chad Johnson's being double and triple teamed, that's fine. But when you need a play and you have Chad Johnson, you know, you got to give him a chance to make a play. That's just my thinking.
Okay, and here's my point. I think the Patriots' number one game plan on defense, based on what everything that the players said after the game, was to eliminate the big plays, number one. And number two, I think they went to Chad Johnson several times in that game. He just only caught three of them. They targeted him at least five or six other times.
He definitely missed one big play.
He had one go right through his hands on a deep ball, by the way.
It was a little bit behind him, but in terms of make a play, he should have
He should have caught it. And there was the interception was intended for him. And there were several sideline patterns that was intended for him. I think if he had caught everything or if Palmer was accurate with everything that went in his direction, it would have been 10 catches for Hushmanzada and about 7 or 8 for Chad Johnson. I think that wouldn't be as obvious. I don't necessarily think. I think if you throw deep on the Patriots again, and you're a team that makes a lot of big plays, you're playing into the Patriots' hands. That's, I think, where Tom and I kind of differ on that.
Yeah, because I think you're playing into their hands if you just take the two-yard passes all the time. I don't think you're going to get any worse against New England doing that.
On the phone right now is Charles in Atlanta. Charles, how you doing?
Good.
All right, thank you. All right. Good. How you doing?
I'm great. Do you realize how incredible it is to live the dream of Brady DeMoss?
I thought you were going to say living the dream of calling this show.
From Atlanta.
Oh, no.
No, that it is amazing, and I think we need to appreciate that.
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Caselli.
I mean, it's like anything. You know, when Larry Bird was playing, they kept saying, you know, Celtics fans need to appreciate these times that we get to watch this guy play. And I think whether Moss is here for this year or years to come, we need to appreciate this combination of Brady to Moss. I mean, that in itself is art as far as football goes.
Right. This whole year is turning into one long, huge highlight reel, it seems like.
Yeah.
Anyway, I called because I wonder if you guys could comment about Peter King's comments on ESPN Radio about how he's starting to see a quote-unquote scary trend and how great players are trending to want to play for the past just to have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. He talked about how Chad was trying to grease Bill's palms during the game, perhaps to curry favor. He thinks eventually it could be an unfair advantage for New England if players go out of their way to play for New England for less money, basically.
How that's dumb the is dumbest, Peter King?
Yeah, that's the dumbest
it's
thing
I've
ever heard.
It's not an unfair advantage by any means, I'll say that.
They've been proven to use other unfair advantages at this point. That's not one of
winning
them.
Winning is not an unfair advantage.
Teams, guys wanting to play for you, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
How
that's
dumb is Peter King?
I guess we should have blown up, and I'm not talking about the caller here, but I mean Peter King. I guess we should have blown up the first 40 years of the NFL when the Patriots were in it because they had an unfair disadvantage that they played in the worst facility that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right. I thought, how great for us if this turns out to be true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it has turned wants out to come to be here true. For less money. That's his prerogative.
Right.
But it definitely has turned out to be true. A lot of guys that have come here have specifically said the ability to play for a winning program, for a great coach, and the chance to win a ring. I mean,
Is there any truth to Chad trying to cozy up during the game with Bill?
No, I don't think that's what it was about. Bill was talking about Chad was playing with him about getting double teamed. He kept double teaming him the whole game, and Bill was saying that he kept begging him, come on, Bill, just one play, single cover me, just one play. And, you know, they were going back and forth like that. But maybe Bill was covering it up.
All right, see you, Charles.
All right, Charles from Atlanta.
Do you think that he's going to say, I'm signing with you guys in 2 years?
That would sound like something Chad would say during the game is stop double covering me.
That's what Bill said.
Wasn't that the whole thing last year? That was the root of their back and forth last year when they went back, was double teaming and things like
and
that.
Bill basically said, no, we've never done that.
I mean, but that is amazing, though. I mean, if that is the case and the Patriots double team Hushmanzada and Chad Johnson all game, where's the rest of that offense? I mean, that's the idea of a balanced offense.
Well, I don't think they double teamed Hushmanzada.
Well, but the idea of a balanced offense is when they take something away from you,
you have to
that
go
opens
somewhere
up
else.
Something
and that's
else.
Why Hushmanzada caught 10 balls for 100 yards.
But never that hurt them. You know, it was always
because
it was always containable.
They were able to make this. Just it was actually the games were very similar. These two games that they played against Cincinnati and basically exactly a year apart in Cincinnati, week four, were very similar. Cincinnati moved the ball reasonably well and couldn't score. They couldn't get when they got it close. They didn't get in. They had to settle for a couple of field goals. They threw a red zone. Well, not a red zone statistically, but a interception down by the goal line. And that was the difference in the game, is the Patriots offense couldn't be stopped from getting in the end zone.
Right.
And Cincinnati, for as high-powered as it is, can't dent the end zone against the Patriots in two tries.
And I think that locker room, just from last year and this year, like last year Rudy Johnson and Justin Smith were really upset about the loss. And this year Chad Johnson seemed to be upset, and Willie Anderson was upset talking about the way the Patriots run things. I think the divide in that locker room is some guys don't like the way it is, and other guys do like the way you know
is,
what I
is
mean.
Is that always the way it is when you're on a losing team or a team that's not doing well?
Especially one that has potential and is underachieving.
I agree with Andy on that.
You just stink. Everybody knows we just stink.
If you go 3-13 every year and people just realize, hey, we're on demand. But the team like Cincinnati is going to look at it and say, we have good enough players to do what they're doing and we're not doing it. Why is that?
So the fingers start pointing.
Exactly.
Right.
Aaron says, since the Pats are killing everyone they play and there's nothing to talk about except them going 19-0, I raise this point. If the Pats go 19-0 on the way to another Super Bowl, that leaves them two wins short of their own record of 21 consecutive wins. There's a pretty good chance they could break their own record for consecutive wins with three wins to start the season next year. It's just something to think about. You know, I was thinking about that today, though. How many games did the Colts finish out winning last year? Like, they've won three.
Not that many.
Well, like, did they lose in week 17?
They really struggled down the stretch. I know that.
They lost
because they were undefeated again. They were undefeated reasonably late in the year again last year.
Well, my point is
they lost 3 in 4 weeks that one stretch.
My point is the Colts are 4-0 right now. If they went 19-0, they'd automatically break the Patriots record.
Yeah, although don't those games not count, the playoff games?
No, the 21 was in it.
Of course they count. It's a Patriots record.
No, but what was the regular season record that they broke?
Remember, they
didn't consider one of them, but it was 19 was the
yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, 21 was the one that counts the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But the bottom line.
You can tell how much I care about those
any
things.
Team that goes undefeated through a full season is going to be really close to breaking that record.
You know
one
call,
side or the other.
You know what I call those? Good SID fodder.
Right.
Who cares?
The real one is the
Super
season.
Bowls, baby.
The real one is the season. If they go 19-0 in a season, you can win undefeated.
19-0 to me, that something that's never been done before like that. And it's starting to bother me now is you're starting to read every Tom, Dick, and Harry's writing a column as to why that can't happen. I think it was, and I can't pronounce
the column
name.
I wrote this week.
I can't pronounce the guy's name. The guy that used to work for Sports Illustrated that now works for ESPN.
Yehudia?
I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
He's talking like the guy in Fat Albert.
Whatever that guy's name is, had this thing with four reasons why you can't go undefeated. And, it's injuries, it's, lack of motivation. And so basically there are no reasons. Right. They're all happenstance. It's all cause and effect. Well, if Tom Brady goes down and you ended up losing the game, well, sure, we can all see after the fact that, that's a game you probably would have won if Tom Brady wasn't injured. But is that a reason why you can't go undefeated?
As much as I don't think the Patriots will, the very fact that people started talking about this so early means that they can.
Right.
Well, and a couple years ago, if the Colts beat the Chargers, they're going to go 16-0 that year. That was the game. That was it right there. And the Chargers beat him, and then everything kind of unraveled after that.
Well,
but
that's when they took the foot off the bit. Right. That was another one of his reasons, by the way, was that there's no motivation. Well, I think that you could have motivation this year.
Well, you don't think Teddy Bruschi would want to go undefeated?
I get that. They might have to need – there's a very good chance, Fred, that you go into December, and if the Patriots beat the Colts, that's the Colts' only loss. Yeah. Now, who knows? The Colts might have four losses right then. I don't know.
True. But that could be for
a
bye.
I think the Colts were trying against the Chargers. I think they just got beat.
Oh, they were definitely trying. Against the Chargers.
Yeah, and if that would have made them, 14-0? And they'd had the two games left. They were against, I don't think, hard teams. They would have won those two games. I don't know if they would have won in the playoffs because they lost to Pittsburgh, but they would have at least gone 16-0 that year.
That's another funny dynamic of sports. Wouldn't you consider that team to be light years better than the one that won the Super Bowl last year for Indy?
Yeah.
It's just funny the way it works.
Yeah. Let's see.
I thought the 2002 Patriots were a lot better than the 2001 Patriots. 2002 didn't even make the playoffs.
A lot of people think the 78 Patriots were better than the 76 Patriots.
I don't think
neither one of those teams won anything.
I don't think you'd find too many people that would say that.
A certain equipment manager in the team.
He thinks 78 was better than 76?
More talented, yeah.
But still the flaw in the argument. Neither one won anything.
Steve from Halifax says, I've been reading some news stories recently regarding Harrison's return, and some of them have been predictably unflattering. One recent one comes to mind from a Boston reporter who will remain unnamed that questions Rodney's ability to be a team leader to down on malcontents in the locker room because he was caught breaking the rules. How could a rule breaker lecture someone else for breaking the rules it questions? Then I think back to the offseason where certain members of the media, well, almost all, were ripping Randy Moss, questioning if he had lost it, etc.
Almost all?
After game one, after game one, I remember seeing a quote that someone yelled out to Moss in the locker room as the media swarmed him, something along the lines of, I wouldn't talk to any of them after what they said about you. I think back to this every time I read in the media that Moss declined to give interviews after the game and wondered if you think Moss is declining because of how he was treated.
He's declining because he said he wasn't going to talk to the media.
Everybody here in Boston treated him great from the time he got here.
And he said in his pregame, his press conference when he got traded.
April 29th, he said, I won't be talking to you guys a lot.
I will not be talking a lot. And I think since then, he spoke twice during training camp and once after the Jets game.
Yep.
And I remember, can you remember any others? Maybe one other in training camp that I can't remember. Maybe there was three.
Well, anyway,
one in minicamp, two in training camp, maybe. I don't know.
Steve's question is, will Harrison respond the same way? It just feels weird that members of the Boston media are ripping a guy who did so much for this team. What's going on here, guys?
He posed a question.
Is there an inside story I don't know about since I'm not from the area?
I don't think that's a rip job. He posed a question, and I think it's a legitimate question. Are there some – if Chad Jackson gets in trouble and Rodney says something to him, don't you think a guy like Chad Jackson might say, why am I going to listen to you? You were suspended for cheating.
I think it's a legitimate question.
It's not a rip job.
It's not a
rip
job.
I don't think it'll happen.
No, I think
because the whole thing that we said.
He still carries the weight.
To me, that's the one thing you can get caught for and your teammates just don't care.
Right.
Is that because they know the business that they're in. They know probably who on that team is doing it and who isn't. And I just don't think it's
Rodney's
a
strong leader. I agree with Tom and Andy. I think that he carries the weight and he still will carry the weight. But I think it's a legitimate question to bring up. I don't think it's a rip job. And I don't think Rodney's been ripped. I think Rodney's been treated with kid gloves, to be honest with you. And I've probably been as guilty of that as anybody because I have a lot of affection for the guy.
There's a guy that there's a guy I'm pretty sure who's doing the same thing.
Not in a gay way, of course.
It's getting a little creepy in here.
There's a guy.
See, not in a gay way, of course. You have to ruin it. I saw him pushing the buttons.
There's a guy. there's a guy in Dallas who I'm pretty sure does the same thing Harrison does. If he got caught and suspended four games, you think he'd have gotten off as light as Harrison did?
No.
No. Well, there's a little difference though. He has a history
of what?
Of getting in trouble with his teammates and the media and all of that. Harrison didn't have that history of being a bad teammate or anything.
No, but
he's throwing a number of quarterbacks under the bus.
No, I know. I just mean for taking it, though, he would face more scrutiny. I think Harrison's got off pretty good.
And I think a lot of it, he diffused it early himself. He never denied it. And I think he made an excuse, even though he said he wasn't going to make an excuse. But by getting out in front of it, I think he did the right thing.
But I think I agree with you that he did the right thing, but I think he would have gotten treated the same way regardless of how it, you know,
he's Rodney.
How it went.
People
love
him.
I think people really have a lot of respect for Rodney because of the way he handles himself, and I think that carried favor with him. I think if it was a guy like
Tom
said,
Rillo?
If it was a guy like Tom said, you know, like Terrell Owens or someone that maybe is a little bit tougher
to deal
with.
Be fair, Tom didn't say T.O.
if it was someone that didn't handle himself quite as well and wasn't quite as respected, I think he would have been under a lot more fire.
On the phone right now is none other than Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
What's up?
Regarding what you guys are talking about, I thought Rodney manned up by admitting the fact that he had done it. You know, he didn't pull a Floyd Landis, you know. I also kind of agree with several of the emailers personally. I don't get bored at a blowout. I sit there and I watch how well the defense plays, try to keep that score low because, you know, they do play with some pride. And I'm sitting on the edge of my chair pretty much throughout every play. And
I'm right with you, Craig.
I don't care what the score is. I mean, we had a lot of pitiful years as Patriot fans, and, you know, now it's time to celebrate. So you don't see me walking away from the
You ask these guys what I go through in a close game. It takes years off my life. I can't take that.
I like these
spreads. It's good for me.
Yeah, you're in a good mood.
Yeah,
you're giddy.
Giddy. Those close games, I'm a wreck.
I have a quick question for Gary. The home crowd was awfully fired up that first home game. What are you going to play to get these guys fired up this week?
Gary.
You had you started off okay, Craig, but
you
Gary
lobbed him a softball there.
All right.
Poor Craig.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Got a lot more emails.
Your New England Revolution have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Noonan.
Shot, and it's in! Patrick Noonan!
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Maryland Hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots Cheese Brats and Beer Brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Takes it.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Freddie might be a homer, but the PFW boys still respect him.
It's not a problem, Chief. Don't call me Chief. Sure thing, jerk. Chief is fine.
Patriots.com radio.
All right, back here in PFW. Was that Peanuts?
No, it was Simpsons, the Simpsons.
You idiot.
Fred showing his age. Was that
you really did. You really
Peanuts.
Did show
Yeah, because Gary, he plays a lot of Peanuts soundbite.
Plus, Peanuts is the least funny thing ever created that was supposed to be funny.
Oh, web radio at Patriots.com.
That Christmas one.
Web radio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
What'd you call me?
A bitch.
Jerk. Oh.
Just because you have a head like Charlie Brown, Andy. That's
right.
Right.
You don't like
don't
the
like
Christmas
it.
One? Overrated. First of all,
I'm not going to talk to a
especially
jerk like
compared
you.
Compared to like the Grinch and some of the
yeah,
other
it's
good
not
Christmas
the best
ones.
One ever. I'll give you that.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was before '85, so
right.
Couldn't possibly live up to Andy standards.
Still on every freaking Christmas.
So maybe some people like it. I guess I don't know.
I doubt it.
Mike Gherkin writes in.
Pickle
he
man.
Says, "I was listening to the replay of the show last night and literally shot mac and cheese out of my nose." When Tom said, he's the best color guy in the game for nothing, after another riveting segment with the leg. That was so priceless because that guy sounded like somebody just stole his dog and he didn't have a picture of it to trace. Good Lord, Gary, if you're going to go crazy with the blow-up button, at least you could have blown up Eric.
I know.
Not your best hire there, Fred. You could have hired Craig from North Carolina. It would have been an upgrade. Oh, wow.
That one's going to leave a mark.
He's going to cry himself to sleep.
I don't
Fred,
care.
You missed him yesterday. He was at his best. When we were doing
he was in
picks,
a bad mood.
I would read the games. Andy would go first, and Eric would go second. And every single game, he had to ponder as if it was, you know, splitting the atom.
So he had a pad with all the
he was crossing the games
there. Off.
As
them they
why
don't
you give
went.
Him, like, a sheet before the show so we can and think
he was
about
he
it?
He had them.
He had them written down.
Because we never
in.
Know if he's coming.
And he was also very, very disappointed that he tended to agree with Andy a lot. And he kept saying,
well, Andy was disappointed.
Again,
yes.
I got to agree with Andy. Oh, I'm upset. You know, it was tough.
Then we took some shots at him.
Yeah, we right. probably went over the line.
Yeah, we I may have crossed the line.
Experience. Is that why he's not down here?
If human have resources any, calls if we have any, yeah. Eric Scalavino.
Yeah, ignore those emails. Pretend you didn't get them. Hopefully it'll go away.
And let's expunge that podcast.
Gary, get on that.
I don't know why CB is writing in, but he's saying, P.S., don't call me a dork.
Who's that?
I don't know who CB is.
I don't either.
And I apologize if I called you a dork.
But he's predicting a 38-14 score for this.
Craig.
Is it?
What's Craig's last name?
I think you might be right.
No, I don't know.
But dork's key. Just in case Gary wants to blow it up.
38-14, that's about right.
We've seen 38-10.
Let's see. Mark with a C from New Hampshire. Yeah. I can't believe people are really saying the Pats games are boring. I can't wait till Belichick and Brady era come to an end and people start to realize what kind of team we had. People are going to talk about the last few years like they talk about the Celtics in the 80s. All I can say is enjoy it now because this kind of team comes once in a lifetime.
It's a great comparison, though. The Celtics in the 80s, very boring. You know, playoffs are exciting when you win championships and stuff. But
again,
how many times did you go to a game or watch a game in the Celtics of the 80s and know they were going to win?
Well, it's that's
boring.
True. But I, like Hello. I said before, I went because I appreciated
of course you do.
Bird so much. And, you know,
well, I'm not yeah. suggesting you don't watch. Yeah. Fred. Of course you'd watch. You enjoy every minute of this. This is great stuff.
It's just I watch for a different reason.
You appreciate greatness.
Right. Appreciation.
Exactly. Let's
Nothing
see.
For you over there? Just
I appreciate
now.
Greatness. I can see it in different levels, whether it's a competitive game or blowing somebody out. I mean, it's like
now?
Boxing. I enjoyed watching Mike Tyson kill a guy in 7 seconds, and I love a 12-round fight where they just slug back and forth. Same thing. They're both great.
I got to give him the nod on that one. That's a pretty good analogy.
Of course, you also liked it when Mike Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas. I'm just saying.
That was great.
It is great.
But that's where the upset factor comes in.
Matt from Waseca, Minnesota. A couple questions for you. How many consecutive 100-yard
games? Oh, I see where you're going there.
people don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry.
About.
Well, the Buster Douglas analogy. I see where he was going with that. Now.
Oh. How many consecutive 100-yard games do you think Randy Moss can have?
19.
No, there's no way.
The record
he'll
is...
He'll have one against Dallas. So
what did I tell you?
One,
what's the record?
It's Irvin.
And
11.
And 7 straight is the most by Irvin and some other guy in 1961.
Well, what's 11 then?
For a season.
Season.
Oh, 11 in the season is
7
a record?
Consecutive.
And 7 consecutive.
So it's actually easier to win 17 games in a row than it is to have 17 100-yard games in a row.
Well, it's never happened, so.
It's right, never happened.
Statistically
speaking.
No one's
ever won 17 games. Right. Oh, yeah, the Patriots did 121.
Statistically speaking, that would be accurate. I say it ends this week, Fred.
Okay.
Lee Bawden shuts him down?
I don't think he gets shut down, but I just think
he's going to be a little physical with him. They'll probably have 2 or 3 guys on him.
It's going to be one of those weeks where Cleveland's going to go in. Romeo's going to, you know, say, like Bill does, I'm going to make you do it differently.
Yep.
And the Patriots don't fall into the trap of saying, no matter what, we're going to get it to him.
Bill goes, okay, I'll do it differently.
Yeah, we'll do it differently. You know,
when
it'll be Welker, it'll be Stallworth, it'll be Watson, be Falk out of the backfield, it'll be the running game. You know, let's face it, we can count the ways that they want to score this week, right?
Another question. What do you think the chances are that we go undefeated in our division?
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go 19-0, we're going to have to win all the AFC East games.
If I'm going to put 19-0 at like 48% right now, then I got to go 100% for division.
There's always room for an upset. I just don't see it this year.
Can we possibly – this is a little caller on or emailer on email or crime here – can we possibly get less of Craig? Seriously, Craig drags down the show completely. It's funny when Gary bombs him because he doesn't say anything interesting, yet he still has the balls to call every day. I filled in balls. He had little asterisks.
He put asterisks and Fred filled it in.
Craig, I'm sure you're a nice guy. You mean well, but your football's stupid. Gary, keep bombing him, and maybe one day he'll stop calling. No,
Aww,
Craig,
we
want
like
you to
Craig.
Keep calling.
Another, Greg, you're generating a lot of discussion. So
we're a big family. The public has spoken.
We have room for all. Your
Andy,
brother wanted to kick you
crap.
Out of the family, but your mom wouldn't let him. That's what we got to do with Craig. He told me that once. He didn't like
about?
You as a brother.
He was like four at the time. He didn't like the fact that he didn't get all the attention anymore.
See, and your mother wouldn't let him.
He didn't tell me because I was being standoffish with him.
He didn't say standoffish. He just said you ignored him altogether.
Standoffish. Were you being standoffish?
No, I...
You know, Tom is. He's off in his own little world on draft day.
But I really wasn't. I was kind of out there talking with people. I just...
Just not Paul's brother.
I don't really know Paul's brother, and he was kind of...
He does kind of sit by the in the table by himself.
Well, we're generally doing radio for 3 hours, and, but
the,
you know.
The issue is, Paul's brother is nicer than Paul. I've always said he's the better
sure
Perillo.
I wouldn't go necessarily into that trial.
Now, did you guys ever have any, like... Drag down, fight, fist fights.
Absolutely.
Really? Dragging down.
Absolutely.
Really? That would have been fun to watch.
As my brother says, I was 0 for life. I was 4 years younger than I'm all the way, you know.
Right.
It's kind of hard when you're 12 to beat up a 16-year-old.
But you guys really went at it.
I used to give everything I had. I'm sure he used to laugh and, you know.
What would you go at it about? Like, what were the topics that you fight
anything.
About?
Anything. We can get, I'll call him upstairs. We'll be in an argument 5 minutes later.
But.
Stupid stuff.
Like, what would you actually fist fight about?
I don't know.
Like you took his stuff or
probably stuff like, stupid things like that. I can't remember. I do remember one time I punched him absolutely.
Were they all Bledsoe related?
No. I punched him absolutely. Fred, by the time Bledsoe came along, we were a little bit beyond the fist fights.
Okay.
But I punched him as hard as I could, gave everything I had. And I meant to hit him, you know, in the arm, like by the top of the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'd hit right in the top of his shoulder and slipped up and I hit him right in the jaw.
Yeah.
And I've never run so fast and so far as I did that day. And one of my friends got in the way to give me a little bit of a head start. I got down the back stairs, ran all the way out down by Route 16.
Wow.
That was it. I've never seen a look like that on his face. I think he would have absolutely killed me if he got his hands on me that day.
Yes, he should have.
Then he cooled down.
Well, yeah. Well, because I basically waited about 3 hours before I came home.
Some good Perillo familial talk.
You need to talk to him, by the way.
Are we out of emails?
webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. Pete wants to talk about the Colts. He says, here's my take. They have no depth whatsoever.
That's
Their
true.
Their defense is very small. Sanders and Harrison are already hurt, and they just lost Morris for the year. Regardless, when we play them in the dome, they pose a much larger threat. They can turn the heat up, run hurry-up offense, and basically tire our guys out. Their team speed is magnified in the dome, so undersized guys like Freeney, Sanders, and Mathis are more difficult to handle. I think it will be a great game in Indy. However, if we do get home field advantage, we will kill this undersized team in the cold weather.
I agree with that.
Let's see. Seymour coming back could make all the difference in this game. Seymour at full strength versus a rookie LT could be the deciding factor in Indy. Also, while I still have high hopes for Maroney, I think Adai looks fantastic. He's powerful, explosive, and hits the holes with authority. I am not sure I buy the argument that he is great fit in Indy. Personally, I think he would do even better in New England since he is a downhill runner. Maroney seems more like the scat Edgerrin James back that Indy is used to having. Oh, I disagree with
that. Well, it's funny. We just actually had a discussion about this
good.
In the press conference. Whether
are you off Maroney?
Oh, yeah. He's been off and on.
Me? No, what are you talking about?
You've been off and on him. You left for a little while. You came back. You're back on.
I'm a little disappointed in Maroney.
I'm a little disappointed.
We all are. We should
be. Well, I'm not off him.
Not in a gay way, of course.
You were for one play.
One play I got off.
Up in the press box, I remember you said, yelling.
I said, he's done. That's it. Yes. I did say that.
I did say that.
What game was that? The Bills game?
I think it was the Bills game.
I'm off him.
Early in the Bills game.
But we were talking about, remember the thing where you stole my running back, Manning said?
Yeah.
Would Maroney be as good a fit as Adai there? And I don't think so anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think that, like I said, and we keep talking about this, we all thought Adai was a great fit for Indy, and none of us is surprised that he has been successful. However, I think I was wrong. I'll speak for myself. I think that Adai is a better player than I thought he was coming out of college.
I was wrong.
More powerful as the emailer talked about. Good, strong, especially around the goal line, dragging people into the end zone. He's a tougher runner. I thought he was strictly an in-space guy, and he's more than that.
Yeah, I was really wrong. I didn't think he'd be nearly this good. Of course, Andy, the guy who came up with the line, Joseph Adai is just a guy, says he's not wrong. But we all thought, you know, he'd be okay in that system, but he's not okay in that system. He's very, very good. And that's the difference for me. I mean, anybody can be okay, but he's they don't miss the edge at all.
Yeah, he's really good. In fact, there were games where the edge – I mean, the Patriots never really got killed by the edge. They kind of figured him out.
No, he had one really good game against us, and that was opening day in
04. Opening day, yeah.
He ran for like 130 yards.
We were wondering why they didn't
fumbled.
Keep running.
He kept fumbling. Right, right. He fumbled three times that night, twice inside the 10.
Yep.
That's really the only reason why the Patriots won the game. But I agree with that emailer about in January in Foxborough, that offense becomes eminently more easy to defend. And I think that that's a key factor. But one thing that I would say is kind of hypocritical. If the Colts don't have any depth, which I kind of agree, they don't have a lot of depth, then why are they going to turn up the heat and quicken the pace?
Right, right.
They're going to get more. They obviously don't have as much depth, so it's going to be more tiring on them.
Dave from Cambridge, it's time for my weekly shot at the big four-headed idiot, Chris Collinsworth. This week on Inside the NFL, his comment was the reason the Pats are successful is they have such talent. You put Thomas and Moss on another team, and that team will be great. It's comments like these that prove three things. One, he still knows nothing about how the Pats operate. Two, he hates the Pats, Belichick, and all their success. Three, he's a moron. On a separate note, am I the only one who thinks the Cowboys are overlooking the Bills and could possibly get beaten this Monday night? I'm calling this a major trap game for the Cowboys. Cowboys 24, Bills 27. And by the way, this Sunday, Pats 38, Pumpkinheads 9.
Okay, so the Cowboys are looking ahead, but the Patriots aren't. I like how they did that. If the Patriots win by 30 and the Cowboys lose to the worst team in football.
If the Cowboys lose this week,
it's all coaching.
Then that's just – they're just not that good of a team.
The coaching should be a shame because with the Bills' situation on defense, Dallas should do whatever they want because they're ranked number one in offense. So they should be able to do run, throw, whatever. If they lose, then what we said about Wade Phillips is starting a week earlier than we had predicted.
They should be able to go in there and play lackluster, uninspired football for a quarter and a half the way the Patriots did against Buffalo and still whoop butt because that team is bad, and it's not only bad, but it's beat up.
Let's see. Sean Murphy is talking about the Patriots with the possibility of playing the Broncos in Edmonton.
I've heard,
you know
heard
anything about this, Fred?
We have heard this rumor.
I thought you've heard that rumor, Fred.
I've heard a rumor, but I don't know if it's true or not. Is it true?
I hear Bolin has ties there, that they've already been up there scouting out the facilities
really?
And how it would work.
One of those internet things had the Patriots plane up in Alberta at some point.
Wow. Now,
were you up in Alberta?
So this year
where have you been, Fred? We haven't seen you since we got back from Cincinnati.
They're playing in London this year.
Yep. Patriots are?
No, the Giants.
I forgot all about that.
And so is next year Canada? Is that what they're saying?
Yep.
Is that true?
Well, it's the rumor. I don't know if it's true. I would leave that up to you.
Well, I thought it was a preseason game. This is the regular season game?
Oh, yeah,
regular season game.
And there's also that thing that they want to do, what is it, every team would play outside the country once, or he wants to add, or something.
Goodell start to get on my nerves.
I was going to say, as much as I really like and respect what Goodell has done so far, that would really bother me if he gets that one put through.
Well, it really bother me, because if we had to play in Canada, I'd be looking for one of the close ones, like Montreal and Toronto, not... That one's on the west side, right?
Right. Yeah,
I want to be going out
that's
there.
That's out of the way.
No, thanks.
Yeah, that would be our luck. We'd be in British Columbia.
finally, have a quick question about free agency next year. I know that Terrell Suggs still hasn't extended his contract with Baltimore. He's young, athletic, has experience as a pass rusher in the Ravens 3-4. I know he'd be expensive, but maybe the opportunity to reunite with Adalius Thomas might be a draw for him. What do you think?
I just don't think the Ravens would let him go because I think part of letting Thomas go was to sign people like Suggs. That's what at least I took from what they were saying.
You know, you could say that they were wrong, but I think part of their reasoning was they felt like they had guys to replace Thomas, and Bart Scott is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good player, too. You could say that they were wrong, that they let the better player go, and they should have re-signed him, but I don't know who they have that fits Terrell Suggs' profile. He's a pretty good pass rusher now, as Bill would say.
He also wants to know what the deal is with Dave Thomas.
He's on IR with a foot injury.
That's unfortunate.
It is.
I was looking forward to seeing him catch some balls this year.
Yes, us too.
David Thomas. Now, is it the same foot?
I assume.
Just didn't heal right?
He got injured again in Cincinnati early in the game.
But, I mean, the logical assumption is it didn't heal right or properly.
Well, when you say injured again, he didn't break it again, did he?
I don't know, but
Bill ended his quote with, it's a tough break for Dave.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he did because I don't think that you would just make
a bad break.
You know, I don't think you would make the move to put him on IR this early in the season if you knew for a fact.
Yeah.
Unless you knew for a fact he was out, right?
Right.
What do you think?
Sure.
No?
I agree. But my assumption was it's the same.
That's
otherwise.
He's probably a bad assumption for us to make, but I made the same one.
He's snake bitten like Ted Johnson's biceps.
Hmm.
Let's see. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. Any chance Willie McGinnis has a good game this week?
Not
that I'm getting bored listening to you guys about how about bringing Hannah back on the show for a guest or a junior Seau.
What? We've never spoken about that.
Oh, how about bringing Hannah back on the show or a junior Seau? Gary might be.
You know, one of them's active and one's retired.
I was going to say you had your pick of players there and you picked Seau.
Plus, we don't like Seau.
You don't? Why?
Well, I don't. He rubs me the wrong way.
Really? I think he's a great guy.
Tom, what do you think?
He's never really done anything.
I think he's inspirational.
I was waiting for you to say I don't like the cut of his jib.
Seau, it doesn't really bother me from anything he's done. I don't like the whole graduation
thing. You know what he does
thing,
in South in California every morning?
Surfs.
In the off season? No. Every morning at
plays
6 o'clock, he gets down the beach, and he holds like a workout session, and anyone that wants to come can work out with him. And people do. They have all these people every day that show up and just work out
with
him.
The moral of the story is I wouldn't go because I don't like him.
Well,
I wouldn't go because it's too early in the morning.
P.S. Fred.
I wouldn't go because I don't work out.
Did you straighten out your PFW circulation department yet?
60
days without my PFW copy. Subs?
Carol still works here.
No, that's not right.
Did you get that straightened out? Seriously, Fred, why is his subscription keep expiring?
I don't know.
Without being notified.
Did he notify our circulation
department? Well, I sent that email to Carol. Okay.
She'll read that in a month from now.
We'll have to look into that.
She deleted it.
TG in New Jersey. Hey, Tom. What happened to the sit-down segments you used to do with Grogan? John Hanna has his spot. Bullwinkle has his 5 points. Where's your slice of humble pie?
I don't have any more pie.
Not the first.
What does that mean?
Remember what Felger told us the story?
Felger used to call.
Yeah,
well, Bullwinkle. It's actually Felger didn't call me that. He didn't take credit for that, did he?
Probably.
Probably.
That figures. He took my whole career, so he might as well take credit for that.
Oh!
See in there? No, Danny Ventura actually coined that phrase.
Bullwinkle's a know-it-all?
Yeah.
Bullwinkle's the little one?
No, it's the moose.
No, the moose.
Oh.
That's Rocky.
There's a Mr. Know-it-all or something on that cartoon. Do you know anything about that, Gary?
Bullwinkle is a moose, yes.
Yeah, he's the moose.
I was waiting for him to say no.
Let's see. Also, TG says, man, was the fictitious kicker bitter yesterday or what? Does he hate his job or just the people he works with?
I know.
It's a little
experience.
Bit of both. A little bit of both, we think.
Was he that bitter?
Oh, he was mad.
Why?
Earlier in the day at the press conference, he was talking about the thing about the plane where they pulled the movie that the whole world knows about. And, like, it was just came out. And
he was
like,
asking B-Lo to send him the
link
to something.
And I was like, that was already on PTI, Eric. And Andy goes, it was in the Globe before we left. So he goes, well, guys. I don't read the Globe every day. And I don't sit there and watch every sports show that's on TV.
I don't watch ESPN. He got really offended.
And I was thinking to myself, really? Don't you work in the NFL?
Right.
Because if you work in the NFL, you should be reading the Globe, for the Patriots at least, the Globe and ESPN.
That story, we had talked about that.
What story?
The movie.
You know how they play. We talked about this on the show already, too.
Fred's not going to get the significance if
he doesn't know about it. On the plane, the movie that they showed on the flight to Cincinnati was The Recruit.
Well, they were going to show it.
Well, they put it on. Right. And then the credits came up, and Bridget Moynihan's name came up, and all of a sudden it stopped. And they changed it to another movie. Well, that story was written about in the Globe on Tuesday.
Who leaked that story?
I have no idea.
Was it you? Why do you have a smirk?
My guess would be one of the clients that was on the trip.
Oh, yeah, that could have been, yeah.
But
or
that
Gary.
That was written about in the Globe. It was on PTI. It was,
so it was all over
it was
the place.
All over the place. And, you know, B-Lo and Eric were breathlessly
Eric
talking about it.
Eric was too busy reading The Life and Times of Ronald Reagan.
And highlighting,
and highlighting
all the key
passages.
Points, which is millions and millions of points, apparently.
I thought we were going to go with kid gloves. So what happened?
We and are. Tracing the photos.
Now Gary's even chiming in.
Gary's vicious.
Let's see. John is a Pats fan in a sea of stinky Cowboys.
Uh-oh.
He says, the buzz here in Dallas has already started. The local media here is already talking about the Patriots-Dallas game. They believe Dallas will pull it out against the Patriots. Yeah, not the game. But are offering their predictions up with a lot of caution. They are already lumping Romo in the same category as Favre, Brady, Manning. To me,
that's what you get when you get Burt Breer.
To me, this is a bit premature. Sure, he has a great season, but until he wins a playoff game, a Super Bowl or two, he's no Tom Brady. What's funny is that Cowboys are going to be giving Romo, Brady, and then some money. Okay. The best plan the Pats can deploy against the Cowboys is to air it out. The Cowboys secondary with Roy Williams absolutely sucks. Randy should be able to burn Cowboys secondary all day long, to the air first and to the ground second. The Cowboys are pretty stout in the run game with Ellis back.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. The only thing I would say is the Cowboys would be stupid not to give Romo that kind of money because they haven't had a quarterback in 10 years. This is their guy.
Yep.
And no, he shouldn't be lumped in with Brady and Manning and those guys. He's not in that class yet. But still, if you have a guy who you think is going to take you to the next level, you got to give him the money because, hey, there's not too many good quarterbacks.
How many people thought it was stupid before the 2002 season to give Brady the contract?
Yeah. That's right.
No one. And, you know, he was just a one. You know, he played,
well, somebody
what, 14?
Wrote it in the Globe. But that's
I don't remember that. Not at that time, after he had played those games and avoided restricted free agency. People at that point were pretty much saying, this is a great move by the Patriots. You get him signed up long term. You know, you're going to have to pay less if you do it now than you will if you wait till he's a free agent. And that's what the Cowboys are trying to do with Romo.
Let's see. Earlier, Tom reinforced the validity of profanity being a crutch of poor vocabulary by asking what applicable means. I wonder how funny he thinks swear words are when some 13-year-old tells his wife to go blank herself. Wow. All
right. Who is this?
I'm pretty sure.
By the way,
Fred, wait, who is this? That the
it's
email
Ron from Raymond, New Hampshire. Raymond is
Ron.
Account.
You're my buddy. You're my buddy, and I love you. But go look up the word sense of humor.
And, yeah. and by the way, if anyone ever said that to my wife, I would rip their heart out and eat it.
Come on.
Which
some
one?
Kid must have already said it to her.
To my wife?
Yes.
What? Why would a 13-year-old say that to my wife?
She's going to have a kid. Tell her to go bleep herself or something.
She teaches kindergarten.
I thought she was a middle school teacher.
No. She teaches kindergarten.
She might be safe
grade.
Then.
She's probably going to be.
As long as she doesn't get Eric Cartman.
I didn't know where you were going with that. Like, why do people just walk up to your wife all the time and say, go F yourself?
I thought she taught middle school.
Oh, no. I thought you meant just in a setting, like a... No, obviously swearing like that isn't funny. I'm not saying you should go up to people and
like
just,
that person.
I'm talking about if you're joking around type stuff, it's
right.
funny.
It depends.
There's
on
different
the context.
Ways to swear. If I said to Felger,
you can be mean. And you
if
know,
I made fun of Felger for being Jewish and I said the F word and I was very serious about it, that's not funny. But if we're joking around, screwing around off the air, then maybe it's funny.
Speaking of Felger.
I mean, that's an interesting place that Tom goes to of all the things you could rag on
me
for.
He's unbelievable,
hey, Mike
isn't
Felger.
He?
Unbelievable.
How you doing?
Hi, Fred Kirsch.
Felger,
how are you?
The fans are clamoring for Kirsch Felger 4.
And I said you've thrown in the towel.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to argue with. I mean, what do you argue about right
You're
now?
You're a defeated man.
I'm not defeated. I mean.
I'm not defeated. He only had four straight 100-yard receiving games.
Well, you see, I mean, it's just been
seven touchdowns.
It's just been misconstrued exactly what I said. But that's okay.
You said.
I mean, I was pretty strong and pretty obnoxious. So I deserve the backlash. But
beep,
if you listen carefully,
beep,
exactly
beep,
what I said.
Beep,
playing the role of Trot beep. Nixon today will be Mike Felger.
I walked into the gym. I looked up on the TV. I heard Mike Felger's voice on ESPN, the station, and he was going, he's a dog. D-O-G, dog.
Well, you caught it midstream then. You didn't catch
you didn't hear
build up to it.
The beginning part where you say, well, you know, based on what we knew coming from Minnesota and from his days in Oakland, that he missed time and he didn't always practice hard and didn't play hard, and then he came here and he missed a whole month of training camp, we'd be calling him a dog.
It's pretty good.
A D-O-G dog.
That's it right there.
Mike,
I've heard the rants once or twice.
Mike, I know that you...
If he's a dog when he's not practicing in Oakland, why is he not a dog if he's not practicing here?
Because he's hurt.
Well, okay. I mean...
He wasn't trying in Oakland. He wasn't playing.
Right,
all I can
obviously.
Tell
you is that
so,
he
well,
was
hold
hurt.
On, hold on. Doesn't that really make him a dog?
Yes.
Because he obviously has
see,
it in
now
him.
That's the point you should have been going with the whole time.
I mean, look at this.
Trying to backtrack your idiotic statements.
If a guy says, I'm not going to play hard for this coach or that
he
quarterback.
Just got on. He finally got it.
You know what that makes him? I don't know. You can answer that.
A dog
yourself.
When he's not in a Patriots uniform.
Plus, you know, not to make your arguments for you, but if you really think that he's a dog and you thought he was dogging it in training camp by not practicing or whatever.
I never said that.
Or whatever. Whatever you had for feelings. Just because he's played well doesn't mean you're wrong.
Right, that's what I would go with.
That's what I would, you know.
And that's pretty much what I am going with.
I mean, I was there
well,
the day.
Well, no, listen, I mean, this is what I was wrong about. I didn't think he'd step on the field and just be the best receiver in the league after 30 days on the sideline. I did not think that was possible.
I didn't think it would be this, like, to this extent. No way.
So that's what I was wrong about. I thought there'd be a break-in period. I thought you just can't show up day one. Like I would always compare it to, I said, he's not Deion Sanders. He can't helicopter into the game and be the best guy on the field. Well, he could. You know, that I misjudged. I misjudged where he was.
Just how good he was.
Talent level, yeah. What he still had left, for sure.
Mike,
but it's a long season, Fred. Someone's still going to hit him at some point.
I know you like to.
We're still waiting.
You like to think of yourself as, you know, objective.
Objective
and fair.
Yes, thank you.
Will Willie McGinnis get a standing ovation today from the Patriots?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Categorically.
Okay.
Do they? Does Cleveland announce themselves before the game? Like they announce the defense before the game?
I don't know.
Doesn't the home team get to decide?
John Rook might just do it anyway.
They should.
You know?
Like they did for Belichick?
Right.
They should. He was a good Patriot. You guys don't love him, though, do you?
Not a fan. No.
I mean, he was a jerk. I don't like him personally.
I wasn't a fan of his
I think he thought he was better than he was.
Right.
I think that
Bill Belichick
during
made
Carroll's
him.
Era, whether he was misused or it was just a bad team or didn't have the support around him, I thought his career was on a decline, and I think it took an upturn when Belichick got
no
there.
Doubt.
I think the best year he had was 2005, which was kind of strange. They didn't win the Super Bowl that year, and they probably had their worst team of the last whatever many years you want to count. But I thought at his age, and given the fact that he had to play
those
snaps,
and he had missed a lot of time the year before.
Yeah, he played almost the whole year.
Well, he did. You know, he's a guy who totally transformed himself under Belichick. Talk about a dog. We all thought he was a dog under Carroll.
That's
couldn't
right.
stay on the field.
That's right.
You know, he was supposed
can't make the club from the tub.
Was supposed to be the Lawrence Taylor type 4 overall, right? He's drafted number 4.
Some of us still think that, by the way. I think he was a bust
for his
draft status.
Really?
Because I agree with you. He was supposed to be Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be a game-changing player.
A bust
and he
is
was
a guy that
built,
just goes away.
A bust out. Andre Bruce.
I disagree.
You can't stay in the league for this long and be a bust.
Now it's longevity again. I just don't get longevity, so he's been able to stay in the league. He's a guy that Bill Belichick made into a performer.
No, he's not
his numbers are things.
So for you, Keyshawn is a bust.
He's definitely
a bust. Oh, yeah. Keyshawn is definitely
a bust.
A bust?
He was the number one overall pick.
He was a good receiver.
He's not a bust, though.
Yeah, so is Wes Welker.
Did he?
He was supposed to be great,
but
he wasn't.
But see, you're saying that bust and not living up to expectations are exactly
two
the same.
Well, when I take a guy number one overall, my expectations are pretty high.
But there's a level of bust, Felger brought up Andre Bruce. Now that's obviously a much bigger bust than McGinnis.
So McGinnis isn't that. But I still think he's a bust.
I tend to, even though he's trying to be controversial and edgy over there. I tend to agree with Andy.
Chris Canty's a bust.
I've said this forever. Where was Chris Canty
Chris
drafted?
Chris Canty was also
first
drafted
round.
End of the first round.
Right.
Still the first round. He didn't do anything.
A big difference.
Felger brought it up before we started this argument. He was supposed to be Lawrence Taylor. He was supposed to be this revolutionary, game-changing linebacker, and he wasn't.
Well, you know what?
Nice little linebacker, like Wes Welker's a nice little receiver.
Andy, then the scouts who said that were wrong. I don't think he underperformed his abilities. I think he did for a time with Carroll, and I think when Belichick got here and put him in a role, he stayed healthy, I think he fulfilled.
Why are we using that as the argument? Oh, it was the scouts that were wrong. So can't you say that about Tony Mandrich and all these other guys that got drafted
high?
But
they didn't even stay in the league.
No, I'm saying, but why are we giving McGinnis the excuse that it wasn't his fault that he didn't live up to the scouts' billing? Well, it's not Andre Bruce's fault that someone took him in the top 10 and
true.
He couldn't play.
But he didn't live up to their billing, but he played at a certain level that I think would preclude him from being a bust.
Don't you
Ryan
think,
Leaf was a bust.
Don't you think as a top 5 pick you should be one of the best players in the league?
I don't think it works like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't you think you should be a Pro Bowl player?
No, not really.
No?
I mean,
he doesn't look for much.
God, I'd love to be the GM with him as the owner. I'll tell you that. I'd have a job for life.
That would be a terrible team.
I would go after the draft. Mike, it's not as easy as it looks picking number 4.
A bunch of Wes Welkers and first-round busts.
I would expect that. I would expect that. But it's too much to expect that every top 5 pick forever is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. It just doesn't work that way.
No, the ones that are good picks. The ones that aren't, like Andy says, are busts.
Well, what about a guy like Kajana Carter who blows his knee out
in the preseason? That's a different category.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's all different aspects.
I don't like putting him in the bust thing because he played even before and after he was okay. I mean, you blow out your knees.
But I think
just like I don't think Robert Edwards was a bad first-round pick for the Patriots. Because he got hurt. Now, I don't think he ever was going to be a great running back, but that's a different argument.
Okay, how about Drew Bledsoe?
I would say that he was probably a middling pick. I don't think he ever lived up to be number
bust?
One overall pick.
He wasn't
but he went to 4 Pro Bowls, Fred.
And
he
for a time, he was considered
the
best quarterback in the game.
In the league.
Definitely not a bust. I think it's very comparable to Willie McGinnis.
He was never as good as Drew was when he was at his best. Willie McGinnis was never that good.
Maybe to a degree, but I think they both had productive careers.
They did.
I think the majority of guys that get picked in the top 5 aren't perennial Pro Bowlers. That's just the way it is.
I mean, if you look at
Fred
the first round,
on the same side.
Yeah, it's pretty much 50-50 in the first round.
Strange
bedfellows. Yeah,
it's hard picking players. It's hard.
Yes, we understand.
I'm not arguing with any of this. You're making different arguments.
Well, they're very good. I mean, that's the only thing that is. I mean, if you look at first round picks historically, it is 50-50. Good teams, bad teams. And I think more of the good teams hit. I think like teams like Pittsburgh that drafts well and New England that drafts well.
But the higher you are, the better you're out. You should be hitting on those picks
more often.
Now,
a guy like Rick Meyer, I would say bust. Okay?
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Rookie of the year.
But he really did nothing. I mean, Willie McGinnis did stuff. You know, I can't put him in.
And
that's
Willie,
Ryan Leafs right. and Rick Meyer.
Willie McGinnis
category.
And Jarvis Green are the same player in my mind. They always make plays and all this, but Jarvis Green is a very nice player because of where he picked. Willie
right.
McGinnis is a bust because of where he was picked.
I would say he didn't live up to his
height. Whatever.
Maybe bust is too
I
strong
think we
a word.
Agree.
Way
too
strong
a word.
But I think, but I, strong but I think that we're actually a lot closer bust. To agreeing here, the way we're talking
to
about
me,
McGinnis.
To me, bust did nothing.
Right.
He did
bust
nothing.
Bust is Ryan just, Leaf.
That's a okay. semantics argument.
Though. Well, it means something, though. I mean, you know.
That's what I mean. I agree with you about if you're a team who drafts up there, you've got to hit on that pick. That's why I think in some ways.
You don't want those picks?
Well, no. The Richard Seymour pick was as good a pick as they've ever had because they needed that pick. The
right.
team was bad. They're drafting number 6 overall. That's got to be a cornerstone guy, and it turned into one.
I agree.
If they blow that pick, you got big problems.
If you had picked David Terrell there, bust.
Bust.
That's right. a better pick than, say, you know, Vince Wilfork, who's been a great player at 21.
That was a gift.
Right, but that's not the argument. But I agree with your point. They needed. There was a lot of pressure on that number 6 pick. They had to have a cornerstone guy, and they got.
And you know, and those teams, you know, I mean, I think teams in the top 5 every year. You could say that this is a. You can't blow this pick. You blow this pick, you're toast.
That's why the same teams tend to pick in the top 5 all the time. You know, Detroit,
yeah,
Cleveland,
and
Oakland.
And don't forget, I think people were underwhelmed with Richard Seymour when they drafted him.
Oh, absolutely, they were. I agree with
Ron
that.
Ron Borges was.
So
what's the quote on a day when you could have had the second best
my
guard
quote?
And a playmaking receiver? You
my
took
quote
a defensive
when they took
end news.
Tom, you remember? Gary used to play the sound clip all the time. I resign. Because I just thought he was a guy that didn't rush the passer very well, and I didn't get the whole two-gap.
I
know,
resign. Too tall to be a good
thing.
Tackle, too slow to be a good pass rusher.
Right.
I
resign.
Yeah.
Plays too high.
I resign.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't get the whole technique thing of the defense at the time. It was only 1 year. It was the second year of Belichick. And I didn't get the importance of finding guys to play in Belichick's system and how vital those guys were, and I was wrong.
All right, we're going to take a break here, Gary. We'll be right back.
Your New England Revolution have been one of the hottest teams in Major League Soccer all season long. Summer may have turned to fall, but the soccer action is still hot at Gillette Stadium. Taylor Twellman.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pat Newman.
Shot, and it's in!
And the rest of the Revs are looking to finish 0-7 strong and get revved up for the playoffs. Get to Gillette Stadium as the Revs make their push for the playoffs in a third straight trip to MLS Cup. With a few pivotal regular season home games left, it's not too late for you to be a part of the action. Tickets for the rest of the season are on sale now and start at just $18, making Revolution Soccer a fun and affordable day for the whole family. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Get your kicks, the New England Revolution.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle. Because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls, and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, gotta be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition goal line guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots free
free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warner?
He's going to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free goal line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
All right, Nick in Vermont writes and he says, I think you need to give Willie McGinnis a little more love. However overrated he might be in some fans' eyes, he has had a prominent role in Patriots history. Wouldn't you agree that he had had many more?
So did Jermaine Wiggins.
Many memorable moments.
Come on.
Through the years.
I'm just saying, based on that logic, there's a lot of guys that have prominent roles in the history.
Willie McGinnis.
Argues.
Here's where.
And this is where Felger calls me an annoying little retard or something.
No, not at all. I just think you're wrong on this one. You know, when Bill took over and sort of took over that locker room, Willie became a very important guy. Like, out of nowhere, what, they call him the godfather? I mean, we all saw it. I mean, for the young black players, I mean, there was a certain segment of players who would come up with.
That also sort of bothers me.
Okay, well, but that's the way the NFL is, bro. I mean, for the most part, it's a little different here. But if you go in any NFL locker room, it's dominoes table here, backgammon table there, black guys here, white guys there. It's like this on this team more than people want to admit anyway. Have you seen that picture from the Super Bowl where it's all the guys out to dinner the night before the game?
Yeah.
Every white guy on the team at that table, it was in Sports Illustrated. I'll show it to you. So anyway.
I know what he's talking about.
It's important that, let's face it, all these guys come up, have sort of similar backgrounds to mm-hmm. Willie, split families or fatherless families or things like that. And Willie was there for those guys. He was a hugely important guy in terms of that.
We talked about it with the Brewski, in the Brewski mm-hmm. book too. And they went to the golf outing before they had the surprise party for Brewski that his wife put together. Mm-hmm. It was Vrabel, Izzo, Brady.
Yeah, but
you know, every other white guy that you
but
could come
my
up with.
My biggest issue with him is just that he didn't live up to what he was supposed to be.
Well, yeah, this has nothing to do with issue. That.
I just think a lot of people don't live up to what they're
yeah, but
supposed
no,
to
I mean,
be.
But
well,
I'm just saying,
that's why I agree
what
with,
else,
I agree with Phil that it's 50-50.
Who else was drafted that year? Who was the first three picks in 94? Do we know?
I also don't care about that. When you pick somebody four, I want it to be
Seymour.
When you pick him six.
What if it's a bad year?
I guarantee you I can find guys. Where's that draft year?
Yeah, you could. He's right. You'll be able to find
guys that came after him that had far better careers.
I'm not talking about the guy in the third round who fluked into it. I'm talking about 1, 2, 3. Who went 1, 2, 3?
Are you online? DraftHistory.com.
Got it.
Oh, boy. Craig from South Carolina. King and Felger aren't related, are they? A couple of morons focused more on promoting themselves and covering the sport.
Is he talking about Peter King?
Yeah.
Well, this guy's a moron. This guy's a baby. This guy's a child. Is he eight?
Who?
Whoever this emailer is.
The emailer?
What's his name?
Craig from South Carolina.
Hey, Craig, I got something for you. Oh, wait. Peter King said something bad about your team. Go suck your thumb, Craig.
Oh,
God, I mean, honestly.
Craig is taking it on the chin.
How much tolerance do you have for that? I mean, Peter King has been the biggest Patriot ball washer you could possibly imagine for 5+ years. You couldn't look at someone's scrotum in this place without Peter King hanging from it.
Wow.
And so, with the videotape thing, he says something about this about the penalty not being hard enough, and children like Craig, the 8-year-old Patriot fans like Craig, now think he's like Ron Borges or me or
actually,
whatever. You child.
I think you're misinterpreting what he's saying.
Child.
It's not. I don't think it has anything to do with what he said about the Patriots. I think the fact that he thinks, I'm talking for the emailer here, is that Peter King wants to be the story.
But do you think that's true?
Peter King does not. He's not that guy.
I think that he's the opposite of that,
so
to be
not
honest
that guy.
With you.
Well, what about his whole column?
So
isn't
94.
It all based on his life?
Okay, first overall pick in 94.
You're going to have to tell me because I don't know them all.
I already saw it.
Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson. Okay, was he a bust?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Number two wasn't.
He's still playing.
But he's a bust.
I don't buy the longevity thing.
Fine. And he wasn't even that good.
Fine. Okay.
Is
all right.
Meyer still in the league?
Hold on. Right.
But he's not, he wasn't
Trent
even
Dilfer's still playing. They're all still playing.
Well, he was in that draft class.
Oh.
Number two, good pick. I'd say Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, thanks.
Number three, quarterback.
He's not still playing.
That's true. Marshall Faulk's not still playing.
Number
Willie McGinnis is.
McGinnis
is
number
better.
Three is.
Heath Shuler.
Heath Shuler. Biggest bust ever.
Okay. Bust!
I get an
bust.
Autographed t-shirt that okay. I thought was going to be worth something.
So, you
so
can't
the guy
say...
after him was Willie McGinnis.
Okay, so you can't say right. Shuler's a bust and McGinnis a bust.
Because
a different...
other teams screw up doesn't mean I'm
there's
playing on screwing
there's
up.
There's a different gradation there.
Yes, there is. You're right.
Oh, yeah. He's not the same bust as Heath Shuler.
Well, I think bust is bust.
You know, okay, the guy...
I got to give Fred credit. He's consistent on this. A Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer, and he thinks there's been like five in history. And bust is bust. He thinks there's like five of those.
The guy who's drafted number seven turned into a very good player.
Bryant Young.
Underrated.
Good.
Still playing.
Excellent player. Has been for a while.
Probably having more of an impact right now than McGinnis.
Would you rather have Bryant Young than Willie McGinnis?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. He was a defensive player of the
oh,
year,
yeah.
wasn't he?
Bryant
he
Young.
He was a really
easy.
Good player.
He
much
was
more,
the best
easy.
In the game for a time. Willie McGinnis
player.
Could never lay claim to that.
On a
ever.
Good 49ers team.
Would you take big, fat, sad Adams?
Not many,
Sam Adams
not many
number
good
eight?
49ers teams.
I think
no.
Sam Adams is as equally as dominant.
As Bryant Young?
No. As McGinnis, and if not more. I think he was, at for a time, one of the best defensive tackles of the game.
33?
Yes. Sam Adams would have been a better pick there.
Sam Adams would have been a better pick than Willie
as
McGinnis.
As a defensive tackle, he was better than Willie McGinnis was as an outside linebacker defensive end.
I don't.
I think Willie for Bill Belichick was a
what yeah,
a
for Bill Belichick. Trouble is, he spent the first however many years
but,
playing with Pete Carroll and not
his
good.
Fault.
Well, there's a lot of players like that.
Exactly. Bill Belichick makes them into better players.
I mean, Tom Brady's not, all due respect to Tom Brady.
Who's a better player, Mike Vrabel or Willie McGinnis?
Who's got more natural talent? Willie.
Yes, and who didn't live up to it? Thank you for answering my question with the way you answered it.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
He's got more natural talent and was a bust. Mike Vrabel maximizes his talent under Bill Belichick like Willie McGinnis.
It's all about the word that you use, and that's getting...
People hate the word bust. God forbid I label him a bust.
You might say you were disappointed, but he's not a bust.
I think he was a disappointment.
Jonte Carver was a bust.
I think he was a disappointment as the fourth overall pick.
That's who the Cowboys picked it.
I don't think he was a bust. I think he was a disappointment.
Back to the fans on Peter King. That one just gets me. I've heard fans like rail against Peter King.
You are not happy.
And I just want to say, oh, my God. Like, that one... If you want... But if you think I'm an a-hole, that's one thing. I'm obnoxious and fine. I've provoked people into hating me. That's fine. Peter King has done nothing.
But does he have new comments? Well, is he referencing the new comments that the Patriots are ruining the league because players want to play for him? And the league's going to have a problem because everybody's willing to take less money.
I guess he came out with something today.
Based on Chad Johnson.
But that's kind of a compliment.
Chad Johnson they think Peter King is saying that Chad Johnson was
greasing
the skids for a trip here. During the game the other night and wants to come and play for Belichick.
And how's that a negative thing for the Patriots?
And he was saying that, no, not a negative thing for the Patriots, but he was wondering, is it bad for the league? Peter King was saying
well,
that
maybe
all
it
these
is.
Players want to come and play for the Patriots at less money because
so the
they want to play for a winner. That's not a
the
negative
other 31
thing.
Teams
oh, but
to
it is to
about.
These 8-year-olds who follow the team with their thumb in their mouth.
That's what I said.
Stop
it's
hiring
not,
Norv Turner.
But it's not a competitive advantage for the Patriots. What's their competitive advantage? The fact that they win?
See, I think it's good for the league.
I mean, it's a competitive advantage, but it's a fair one.
But I think it's good for
they
the league.
They created it.
Because it forces teams to go out and hire real coaches, GMs. Stop screwing around with these retread coaches that nobody wants to see anymore, like Turner and those guys. Stop. Go out and get some new blood in there. See if they can
at least
coach.
I agree with Tom. I would rather have the untested coordinator any day of the week
so let's make
than
a jump.
Guy that I know can't do it.
Let's make a jump. Tom and I were talking about this in the locker room. Josh McDaniels' offense is ridiculous
so far. I
think
he gets a job next
year. Is he a head coach next
year?
Oh,
God. Really?
No way.
He's going to put up ridiculous numbers
as
a coordinator.
That has to be the trend, though, is going towards
sure.
the younger,
I mean,
flashy
if Lane Kiffin can get a job as an assistant at USC, why can't Josh McDaniels?
I'm just going to say that I would have...
just going to say, oh, it's because of the players.
Just so you know, I would have said the same exact thing in 2005, no way, for Eric Mangini.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I said I would have said no way then, and I say no way now.
I
was wrong then. Who knows? Maybe
I feel
I'll
he's going to be the hot new coordinator. Maybe his name comes up this year, and he just goes on some interviews. But in 2 years, I think he gets a job.
Did he get a job before Dean Pease?
Oh, yeah.
Dean Pease is old.
I think Dean
ship
Pease
is passed.
The ship is
he's going to be the new hot shot coordinator that everyone's talking
and
about.
And shouldn't it
Josh
be?
Josh McDaniels.
I mean, he led them.
The Tom Brady thing is Josh McDaniels, too, even though he obviously has Tom Brady. He led him to an AFC title game with no talent on offense. Now you gave him talent on offense, and he's blowing people out of the water.
That's a good point. Say that.
It's the same argument. Now, of course, Brady is a big part of that.
I think you can make the same argument. I just think that he's not really well known. And I think that if you asked a lot of people, they wouldn't even be able to tell you who the offensive coordinator is for the Patriots.
He will be after next week's PFW when he has a nice big feature. Yeah, we'll plaster be. A big headshot, blow
weeks.
Him up.
2 weeks.
Clinton we'll says, I think the caller took the Peter King interview wrong. Peter wasn't saying that they are doing anything wrong. He was talking about how other teams in the league might be in trouble if players take the view they can take less money to win
that
a championship.
Sounds more like Peter King.
But Peter King just wants to make a name for himself. He just wants to,
you got
to
let this Peter King
how
go.
Belichick and Chad Johnson
listen,
were getting
it's not good for you.
Sidelines.
It's not
how
good for you.
Got
to let it
King.
Go.
You're right. You're right.
We've had Peter King on the show, you know, Felgie.
I love
how live in studio.
Peter, I rank.
You ever had him on your show?
A lot of guests before I got here. Apparently,
I like Peter King
and Howie Long too.
And I rank him among the most complimentary, supportive national reporters of what the Patriots have been doing here.
No question.
For the whole time, and suddenly he says objectively, I think that the video scandal punishment wasn't hard enough. And suddenly, to Patriots fans, he's a self promoter. He's just trying. You know, he's. It's just absurd.
Does it surprise you?
Childish.
Those are the rules of Patriots Nation.
I didn't think they were that childish, but I've been proven wrong.
Ask Fred. He'll explain.
You need to start doing this show here with us every day.
I mean, Red Sox fans aren't like that. Red Sox fans will criticize their team and look objectively at their team. I mean, they're sort of chronic in their own way, but they're not afraid to be criticized or criticize their own team or look at it critically. Patriots fans, you can't even dip a toe in the water.
There's nothing better than when a writer or especially one of those online guys that have an email address at the bottom, write something bad about the Patriots, and then they just get bombarded. I guess Easterbrook, I mean, they nailed him.
Well,
you know,
that's an extreme example. Some of what he wrote was pretty out there.
But what he was writing really wasn't the Patriots. It was what if
the league. It was the downfall of the league.
Well,
it was a little much.
It's a little, yeah, it was a little Andy Hart.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Even
quite,
I wouldn't write that on ESPN.com.
I thought that was a little extreme.
It's like 500 people listening.
I like Peter King. My only problem with Peter King is I think he does well without having to be sensational. One, but I think that he never takes a stand.
Right.
That's
always
that's
my
criticism.
He's never critical enough.
Right.
You know, everyone's the best. Everyone's doing a great job. Everyone's dangerous.
This
everyone's
could happen
drafted
or that
well.
Could happen.
Right.
Give us your opinion.
This is worse than Spurgeon Win.
Right. So, doesn't he say it and then say, I'm not saying that will happen.
Right.
But,
I'm saying it could happen.
I'm not even saying that it's a negative. I don't care if he's negative. Even if he had opinions about all positive stuff, he doesn't have that either. It's like Randy Moss. He could do this. He could catch, 15 touchdowns, or he could
or
be
he
hurt.
Might
and
catch two.
Well, thanks for covering every base that could possibly be covered.
Okay,
he's the national version of Glenn Ordway.
What did he say about the Cowboys? He said they could be a Super Bowl contender, or they could be 8-8.
Right.
Thanks.
But thanks for eliminating 3-13 as a possibility.
Okay, as far as these NFL insiders, Adam Schefter, Jake Glazer, Chris Mortensen, Peter King, et al. Which one do you take? Which one do you think is the best?
Jake Glazer.
Really?
He's the best for my sort of taste.
Yeah, because he's a muckraker.
He is a muck, scandalous, tabloid, and he gets in there.
I've always liked Mortensen.
Isn't he a UFC guy, too? Doesn't
he's
he, like,
nuts.
Fight?
And he's also out of his treehouse. He's nuts. But he gets
I like that about
stuff.
Him. Okay. Like, Schefter seems to be the best information.
I'm starting to
guy.
Like Schefter in terms
Schefter
of guys.
And Mortensen.
I think Schefter
NFL
has
Network,
the best.
Right.
It's so obvious what's happened with Schefter. But, I mean, it's beyond
so
obvious.
So what? He's got the best stuff.
Fred,
but he also does bad things. Go. It's not all positive.
Jealousy is
I've
not
I've never seen bad stuff. I'm not jealous of him, but it's obvious what's going on.
Remember
I'm
the Raiders? He said that they were going to fire.
And he was right.
And he was right. And the Raiders were telling him.
Yeah, but why was
okay,
that a negative?
Fred, thing? To take on the Raiders, the league hates the Raiders.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's not a negative. That's not a point in your favor.
Sort of what
Let's
he's
have
saying.
Him report something negative about Bob Kraft, and then we'll see.
I think that he has.
That won't
been,
happen, by the way.
You don't
ever.
Think so?
Ever.
He would never say
ever.
Anything bad about
he's
Kraft.
He's a terrific reporter, but it's obvious what happened there, Fred. I did a tryout there in the first year or two, and they said, I said, you guys could really blow it up from a news angle here. You could get everything. He's like, we're purposely not doing that. We don't want to piss off the rights holders. We don't want to step on the toes of ESPN and all the people who cover us. Maybe we'll evolve into that at some point.
Right.
Well, bam, suddenly this spring, Schefter's there with
so you have an axe to grind.
No, not at all.
Because you wish you wanted to be that
guy.
You had.
No, I wasn't up for his job.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I'm not, but that's just what happened. I don't blame him.
Who got your job?
He's up for some job that he didn't get. So,
right.
Well, how do you get
the
one
NFL
of those
Network
trials?
Didn't hire
Tom
you.
Wants to know.
The guy who got my job was the weekends for the NFL access job.
The young kid, the Greek kid.
No, he's a black guy. He did the LA Lakers post game.
No, the black guy.
I thought it was the China
when
man.
When did my grandfather and his friends come in? What is wrong with you two?
I really like that Jew that's on there. Though. He's good.
Jeez. Rich Eisen.
They all have names.
No, there's
I think.
A young kid who.
I say that because I think I was the token white guy. Like, I mean, the guy that hired was like
you're the token white guy,
yeah.
Right?
No disrespect to the Oriental.
The guy they hired was, like, really good. Like, polished, like a pro, like, legit. Right, right. And I am just sort of mediocre right, behind the like mic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think they just.
All right, well, we got to end a little early today because Mike Felger's show is going to start today at 2 o'clock. Is that going to be on Patriots.com radio? Wow, it is.
There you go.
All right, so you get a lot of Mike Felger, and we'll see you next Tuesday.